much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
All right, are we ready?
I'm ready if y'all are.
I'm ready.
I did say ready.
Are you ready?
I did say that. Yeah?
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
Wait, hold on. You mean to tell me that the only copy you got on this song is on this laptop?
I just finished it today. I left my hard drive in New York.
I'm going to email it.
Nah.
What do you mean, no?
Hackers.
Who's hacking your emails?
NASA.
NASA's hacking your emails?
Yeah, remember the Snowden dude?
Oh, you mean the NSA?
Yeah, NASA.
Is it Nevada or Nevada? Because I've said Nevada, if you were like, Nevada, huh?
I don't want to put all my chickens into one egg and let it hatch into, I don't know, a dinosaur.
And now.
Is this where I ask a follow-up question? But I'm so cute. No? I guess I'll just leave it to my imagination.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Thursday morning, the 25th of April.
What's up, children?
Hi.
A question. Every Thursday, drive to work. Come down La Brea. About La Brea and I think it's Melrose. There's a strip club.
Oh, I think of this all the time.
Right?
I bring this up to Danielle all the time.
Thursdays, it's 5:25 in the morning.
Yeah.
Packed. Valet.
People outside walking to their cars at 5 a.m.
I don't know if they're walking out or in. I've seen people going in.
I can't figure
it
out.
What could it be? A meeting of some kind? But if they had a meeting for strippers, would it be at 5 a.m.?
Do you know what else I've seen outside at 5 a.m.?
What?
A busy taco truck.
That's true.
People eating tacos right there. I don't understand.
It's mind-boggling.
Why is it booming when we're coming into work?
Well, I think the answer is obvious that next Wednesday night we're sending Beer Mug to that strip club to find out what goes on.
I mean, do you think they stay up all night?
Yes, they have to be.
I do.
I
don't
know. Walking out, there's tons. You know what
okay,
else?
Okay, how is it? Okay,
there's so many. I honestly thought of this every day. I think of this.
So you think that it's still staying up from the night before?
I do too. Because
I
don't think it's likely that they start something at 2 a.m.
I think they start something at 5 a.m. But here's my thing: if they stay open all night, you're not looking at the A squad, right?
No. No.
That many people are not sticking around.
This is the bench.
Right.
Yeah, the bench.
This is the deep bench that they don't ever really... They're kind of trying out to be a stripper.
How do I not know that they're...
What's wrong with your mic?
Is it not on?
Yeah,
now it's on.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, it's on, but it sounds terrible. It does.
Well, it was hanging upside down when I came in this morning.
Good.
So I had to maneuver some stuff.
Are you talking into the backside of it, maybe?
Sounds tinny.
It does. Try the yellow one. Oh, wait.
It sounds better.
Turn it off while I do.
No, okay.
Oh no, you got it. You're good.
Oh yeah.
You're turned around.
You're talking backside. Yeah.
Okay.
Hi,
sorry. What?
Hi, Allie.
This place is a joy.
Okay. Why do you not know what?
How do I not know where a strip club like by Pink's?
No, he's talking
by
about
Pink's.
He's talking about the famous one. On
it's crazy. Crazy legs.
Crazy girls.
It's on Melrose and La Brea?
No, it's on La Brea.
It's on La Brea.
And Sunset. La Brea and Sunset.
Past Sunset.
Oh, okay.
Across from the other strip club at the Jim Henson Company.
Oh, Crazy Girls.
I mean, it's going off. Yeah.
Crazy Girls, that's the one where Courtney Love used to strip.
Yes.
Wow.
It's going off. And also, there are tons of very fancy executive limos, not like the ones you'd rent, almost like the ones you own.
Right.
That are waiting across the street at 5 a.m.
That's why I think maybe it's a meeting for people who own the chain or something.
All right, hold on one second.
As you know, we meet here every Thursday as owners of the strip club chain go over business tickets.
Let's ask just in case somebody listening knows something about what goes
and it's
on there.
Just on Thursday mornings.
I've seen it on Friday mornings as well.
And I've seen it once on Wednesday, but about 90% of the time is Thursdays.
So give us a call if you know something about this.
Yeah, and there's still...
Say this.
All right.
1-800...
Hey, don't get all uppity.
Well, this is my third attempt to try to put out the phone number. 1-800...
So do you think that there's...
520... 1067.
Call now.
If you know anything about what the guys are talking about this mystery overnight or early morning meeting at the
Crazy
Horse.
I mean, it's happening. I feel like I need to pull over and find out.
For sure.
But I'm always late, so I can't really do that.
Well, this is why it's a mugs on the street assignment.
Oh, great idea.
That's what I'm saying. You got to send mugs down
Put them there at like noon Wednesday and just have him stay all the way through.
Like, I hope it's like a fraternal order and he gets murdered and we like stumbled on a very important like Illuminati meeting.
Wow. That is very curious.
I'm so happy you brought that up.
And every day between the time I see that on Thursdays and get into the radio station, I completely forget about it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's probably 5 minutes away.
It has to be an overnight thing. There's no way there's a middle of the night
You would
meeting.
Think so.
It
but
has to be.
But it's going off, and I'm saying an overnight thing, it's not going off at 5 in the morning. Yes, Ruben, come on in.
Oh, Ruben.
No.
Just
walk in.
Okay, all right.
Of course, Ruben, we're done.
Ruben, how long have you been going to this strip club, first of all?
You know what? Actually, I've been there a few times, and it goes off. It goes off. Now, I just looked it up, and it stays open until 4 a.m.
It's 5:20.
Right.
It's
so
packed.
Stragglers.
I mean, it
no.
takes... So this is... one club that's kind of unique in that it does serve alcohol, but alcohol probably ends at 2.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So I'm sure they do stay open until 4, and then it's pretty hard to get drunks out of a bar anyways.
You think it's an hour and a half hard to get drunks out of a bar?
Well,
I've seen them thrown
guess
out.
Guess what? They can't drive, so now they're hanging out on the street waiting for their Ubers or a taxi, and there's not very many of them out at 5
it's
in the morning.
It's not satisfactory for me.
Especially
is it you, Jensen?
With the fancy cars and the limos out there.
Yeah, that's. I would agree that the fancy cars is strange. Also, I...
By the way, Ruben, you drive a fancy car sometimes for people, yes? Do you?
I used to, yes. And I have picked people up there at all hours
is
of the night.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Mm.
Hey, Ruben, what was the first strip club in the world? Do you remember? And aren't you glad you weren't on the Titanic?
Did you used to have to go to caves to see hieroglyphics of naked women? Was that the first strip club? I also would throw out that, why does a strip club need to be open till 4? That seems late.
I mean, Vegas, all
24/7.
Yeah, but there's a lot of 24/7. Yeah. But Vegas is the only city that I know of that is 24/7. And I just can't imagine. I mean, it's not just open. It's really happening.
It's happening. Yeah. Beer mug investigation, you guys. I'm sorry.
I never thought of that. I was always like, I'm the man for the job. But I don't leave my house early enough.
He's 60 minutes beer mug, so let's get him on it. Let's find out.
Yeah.
I love that. I love the visualization of old man Ruben at the strip club, by the way.
With a cane.
I love that.
Who needs a ride?
Look, we're drunk, but we're not that desperate.
You're the age of my great, 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 great granddaughter.
Can you get closer? I can't see you very well.
All right, great. So
it's
now we got a mission
funny
for
that
next week.
Jensen thought the same thing every time he drives by.
The only thing I can think is if it's the only strip club like in LA, yeah, they're going to stay open a little later.
It's not though. There's others in Hollywood.
It's right across the street.
Yeah,
really?
Jim Henson Company.
Yeah.
No, there's a ton of them on Sunset. Yeah, Seventh Vale is a name that I've always passed for 30 years.
I don't know. There's a ton of them, but I would say there's probably 4 or 5 of them in Hollywood.
Really?
Yeah.
I just remember the girls on Sunset. Then that closed.
You're watching music videos.
Yeah, it was a Motley Crue video. Okay. Wow. I'm really out of it.
Yeah,
full nude?
Well,
I haven't gone in.
Pasties.
Yeah. I haven't gone in.
It's
I'm just
pasties. Get the F out of here.
Right, especially
right?
at 4:30 in the morning.
Who's with me. Don't need to see sagging pasties. I want to see some perky boomers.
They are not working at 4 o'clock in the morning, though. That's my point. I don't know.
They might be.
These are their moms that are working in the overnight.
Oh, dear. Oh,
Nana
dear.
Can't provide for her granddaughter?
Why is it going to be Nana?
That's a terrible stripper name.
Nana.
All right, I think we got it.
We have to get.
I think we got it.
Coming to the stage,
get mugs on it.
She's ready to roll and ready to rock. Get your tips ready for Nana.
Oh, sad.
All right, you got anything else there, Bean, or you want to go into
today? That was the thing.
All right. All right, we need to send mugs though. I can't take this.
Absolutely.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean show, shall we?
Oh no!
No,
is that not working?
Oh no!
What happened?
It's on. Try it again.
No.
No, it was going. It's through his computer.
Oh, wow.
Nothing is sadder than that.
Oh, this is a...
But the other thing opened...
This is a sweet radio station we work at.
Okay. Well, that could be me. We'll evaluate in the break.
All right. April Foolishness Ringside Seats. We're doing this in the 6 o'clock hour.
Great.
And how are we doing that?
I believe... Ray of Sunshine is coming back. This is just because Ray Romano is on the bill this year. We are going to be looking for your Ray Romano impressions. Dave seems to think that everybody can do Ray Romano. Well, his voice is easy.
Which is interesting, because even Dave can't do it.
Yeah, Dave's is terrible.
I mean, so it may be one of those voices that everybody thinks they can, but they sound awful. And one year we had Ray on the phone listening to the whole thing, and none of them knew. And he said, do I sound like that?
Why don't we all try? Recognize... You go.
Deborah.
Okay. Right.
Okay.
Hey, Deborah.
Okay.
Welcome to April Foolishness.
What was that?
I don't know.
Welcome.
Do you know who Ray Romano is?
We're doing
is?
Ray Romano.
I've never seen Ray Romano. Yeah.
Bean?
Abby?
Deborah.
Yeah. The British Ray Romano. Very excited. So that'll be coming up in less than an hour. We'll give you a chance to do your Ray Romano impressions to win your way in.
Jensen does get up on this on Thursdays. We're going to talk about buying terrible merch. Jensen, where did you go that you bought dirt?
Field of Dreams.
Field of Dreams.
Oh, such a dork.
He bought a little container of dirt.
Like a vial?
It was like a test tube.
Oh.
Paid for it, brought it home. Do you still have it?
I thought I... No, I don't anymore. But
because
I had it for
Danielle
way too long.
Is doing the right thing.
Well, yeah. I needed her to marry me.
Yeah.
So I threw it out.
We're also going to announce the opening act for April Foolishness this morning. And Colin Hanks will join us.
Oh, fantastic.
Love him so much. That's coming up. We'll take a break. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:53.
I care very deeply what Ali has to say in what's happening.
Same.
Sure.
But
more than anything.
And now, breaking news, boom.
But Claire is on the line, you guys.
More than almost anything.
I think Claire is on the line, and I think that she is going to break wide open what's happening at the Crazy Girls.
Hey, Claire.
Well, hello.
Hi there.
It's not a break wide open thing. It's a, we live in Los Angeles. We know that things happen here that other people don't want to acknowledge happen here.
Okay.
So we all know that, like, girls come in and out, they strip, they get served up to, like, private, like, people come in and I don't even know how to explain this.
But at 4 and 5 in the morning?
And only one day a week for the most part.
Yeah.
Well, because they have to come in for the weekend. I mean, what, do you want them to come on Tuesday?
So you're saying, hold on.
I'm not behind this, by the way.
So, now it's Kevin's role.
Kevin is on scheduling. So you're saying that women come in from everywhere just on that, like, for the weekend starting for
Do you
that-
not know about the role, like, the American stripper circuit, like, and...
I know that girls...
California is the porn capital of the world.
Okay.
So people come here from everywhere to do things to make money.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And... there are certain times of the week and the day that, you know, this happens.
So at 5 a.m. when I see all those cars, those are strippers that are here from all over the world and
guys? Those are the gentlemen representatives watching what needs to happen for their weekend events.
Oh, my God. We've opened a Twin Peaks episode.
No kidding. So people are there to hire talent for their weekend parties?
Yes, at least the weekend, if not more.
Oh.
Yes.
Whoa.
I mean, I'm just asking for a friend here, but what's that going to cost him?
I have no idea. I don't pimp them. I'm not the pimp.
Okay.
The
all right.
Take it easy.
I'm not either. You now, Bean.
I'm not either, and you attack me, so.
Wow.
All right. So I guess what we're saying is... it's the kickoff for what is Los Angeles's underbelly of women who are purchasable for weekend or longer events.
Does that sound
how much of an underbelly can it be if you're driving by and watching it happen?
True.
Okay, but so it's not so
underbelly.
Okay.
Very fat.
I'm sorry that we've disappointed you so much in this conversation.
Claire, are you telling me that when I look at Instagram and I see girls on yachts,
those girls just love yachts?
They're not on, like, a vacation?
No, not usually. Oh. No, they're usually paid to be there. I know, right? And
oh,
their moves are not usually real as well.
Yes, this is crazy talk, Claire.
Now you're ruining my life.
And by the way, I don't know why you think
we care
about that.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly. All right, Claire.
Thank you.
We appreciate you bright and early this morning shining a light on what we've been missing. Right under our own noses, you guys. We had no idea this was going
on. Jensen and I have been worried about that for two months.
Yeah, well,
can't figure it out.
I'm going to walk in there and be a Liam Neeson and just save everyone.
Yep. I just want to make sure the girls are okay. I'm just going to stop by just to make sure they're fine.
Yeah.
I just wanted to say I'm not positive you're the Liam Neeson type.
Thank you, Claire. We appreciate you.
Okay, thank you.
Bye.
All right. Also, let's be honest. Sex work should be legal. This is just insane. We need to protect these women in the best of ways.
Absolutely. All right. So Claire cleared it up for us. Allie, we still got some time for some what's happening.
I got nothing. You want to talk about some of the new words coming to the Merriam-Webster dictionary?
Not even a little bit.
640 words.
This is Bean's, like, best day.
The English language is evolving, you guys.
Yes. We knew that Stan was in the better dictionary, Oxford, mm-hmm. right? 2 years ago. But now it's in Merriam-Webster, not only as a noun...
Wait,
which means,
like Eminem?
Yes.
Yep. Okay.
Which means an extremely or excessively enthusiastic and devoted fan, but it's also a verb, so to exhibit fandom to an extreme or excessive degree. Stan is a noun and a verb.
I love it.
I like it, too.
Do you guys know what it's from? Do you know its origin?
Well, I was going to tell you.
All right. Well, I was going to ask, if quiz-wise.
Okay. A lot of people think that it's from Eminem Stan.
Mm-hmm.
But it's really Nas who developed the word as a catch-all for
right?
obsessive fans
during
in his song
Ether.
She's
got the story.
Goddamn news!
We're only giving her 3 minutes. Let her do her
Jeez!
Story.
If you know anything about the strip club on La Brea and Sunset, call now. 1-800-520.
We've moved on.
Sweet baby Jesus.
What are some of the other new words that
I don't know, Jensen. You want to finish the story?
It's call a cross now. Between stalker and fan, Stan.
Of him. Call now.
EGOT is another word.
Oh, see,
okay. So the origin of EGOT.
No, we got
like
it.
You
comes
joke,
from Nas.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
EGOT should be in the dictionary.
Buzzy. Not buzzy? Just Jeopardy. Causing or characterized by a lot of speculative or excited talk or attention.
I feel like that should have been in the dictionary 10 years ago.
Agreed.
This is something I've never even heard of, but do you know what a bottle episode is?
Oh, yeah.
One that stands alone?
Yeah, it's a standalone episode.
Never heard of that.
Of a TV show that,
it's got a through story, but this one stands by itself?
Exactly.
Oh,
yeah.
I never heard of that.
It doesn't tie into the rest of the plot line of the show.
An inexpensively produced episode of a television series that's typically confined to one setting.
Huh. Interesting.
So there you have it.
What about Stan, though? Do you have any more information about Stan?
By the way, I am so excited by dictionary talk, and if I could request this every day, please...
I mean, we went
if Jensen will allow it.
No.
From strippers to dictionary talk. That is like a boner.
And
a
who lot is of, being more excited yeah, about?
The dictionary.
The dictionary, that's right.
A lot of people would be like, boner killer, but yours was like, boom.
Thank God we stopped talking about strippers and started talking about new words.
Understandable.
No, don't.
Happy birthday.
Stan is, here's the thing.
Okay. Yeah, we got it covered.
Hank Azaria. He's the best. Al Pacino, Renee Zellweger, and Jason Lee. That's what
I'm a sports writer, and I spend a lot of time with my parents. That's my Ray Romano.
Oh, what?
That was my Ray Romano.
Really?
Yeah. Really?
Well, I mean, I guess not everybody can do Ray Romano. Kevin Bean's 11th annual April Foolishness, including access to the pre-show VIP party and a ringside bag, all happening at the Microsoft Theater tomorrow night. Tickets at AXS.com. Ray Romano is one of the great comedians on the bill. If you can do a Ray Romano impression, this is your chance to wow us with it.
I mean, not everybody's great at it either, so if you have an average one, feel free.
That's a good point.
Nobody's going to nail it.
You just know how to say Deborah.
Right?
Give us
say
a
that
call.
Word.
1-800-520-1067. We'll play our game, Ray of Sunshine, coming up in a couple of minutes here on K-Rock. I saw this story, and it blew my mind for two reasons. This was a medical miracle, as far as I'm concerned. This is a woman named Munira Abdullah, who in 1991, you guys, in the United Arab Emirates where she lives, she was in a car with somebody else was driving. She was in a car with her 4-year-old son in the backseat.
Yeah.
And the car she was in collided with a school bus. Okay. A very serious accident.
That's my great news.
Nope. The last thing she did as she saw the school bus approaching and the accident imminent is she hugged her little son, Omar, and then the crash happened.
Oh, very different from Omar's real mom.
Right. And she was...
would have kicked the door open.
She was seriously injured, and for reasons not explained in the article, it took her 4 hours to get to the hospital after the accident. Now, I don't know if this is a case of... it was just a mangled wreck and they couldn't remove her, but it took her quite a long time and she went into a coma.
What is this, 2001? Oh,
wow. This is 1991.
1991?
Yeah, so she went into a coma and never woke up.
But is the 4 hours, if she would have gotten
relevant?
Help better?
Like, I feel like, I feel like brain damage happened while she was waiting for medical care is what it sounds like.
And you're
like
a doctor.
To me. And I am a doctor, yes.
Okay.
So she never woke up until she did, after 27 years in a coma.
She was kept alive for 27 years.
Been barely alive.
Yes.
Family visiting her.
Yes.
We hope she wakes up one day.
Yes.
Every day for 27 years.
Yes.
Can you imagine?
Wow.
You would have to give up.
Well, this is what this
as a family
is,
member.
This is the first half of what astonishes me.
Okay.
Is, I mean, they were keeping her alive. She had a breathing tube in,
yeah.
And obviously they were, you know, they had the way they feed. Well, I guess they feed you with an IV as well. And they said she's not coming back, kids.
They weren't seeing signs of improvement,
no.
So they kept at it?
Yeah, they just kept her there.
Wow.
And, you know, they do all the physical therapy and stuff like that so that you don't atrophy your muscles and everything like that. Probably thinking that that was a big waste of time because she was just going to die of old age at some point. You know what I mean? But you go back to the family for a second. So you are shocked by your mom's in a coma, and then a month goes by and you go, wow, this is so bad. I sure hope she comes out of it someday. And then a year goes by and you're still like hanging on by your fingernails that maybe it's going to happen. And then I can't even understand how you keep the hope going when it gets to be 5 years, 10 years, 20 years.
I mean, at 20, yeah. Do you sort of, you have to mentally give up.
I mean,
right? Because it's been 20 years.
I think you have given up.
Yeah.
You've lost your mother. Her son, Omar, by the way, is now 32 years old. Right?
Wow. That was four?
He was four
wow.
at the time, yeah. He said that mom started to make strange sounds in her last week of treatment in Germany, her son said. And then 3 days later, she woke up and started calling his name.
Well,
oh,
first she
gosh.
Said,
what's going on?
For years, I have dreamt of this moment, and my name was the first word she said. She is now able to communicate in a reasonable manner. In her mind, no time had elapsed from the accident. So she screams Omar's name because the last thing in her brain was, a bus is coming to hit us.
Right.
And I need to protect my boy.
My four-year-old.
Yes. All right. So thing one, how do you keep hope? How do they keep her on the machine for 27 years? Thing two, where do you start bringing mom up to speed with what she's missed in 27 years?
If it was 91, she missed the internet. For example,
yes.
right? That's a pretty huge history changer.
Yes. And cell phones.
Right.
Another thing that would blow your mind if you were seeing it out of nowhere from 1991 technology in your mind. I mean, the very first thing I thought when I saw this article is somebody's got to tell her about Smash Mouth. Right? I mean, somebody needs to bring an iPhone in there and say, listen to this. This is an all-star.
I can't listen to music on that piece of metal.
I was thinking, too, like, one of the more confusing things for her might be Mike Tyson. Because she went under when he was, like, the toughest, scariest man in the world.
Yeah.
And now he's sort of a big... He went to jail, one.
Right.
Two, a cuddly sort of comedy character.
Yeah.
And also Trump.
Don't you have to start with Barack Obama? Wouldn't that blow her mind?
As far
as president? First of all, she's in the United Arab Emirates. I don't know
if she cares
about politics, but right. just stuff in the world that she has missed.
How about September 11th?
I mean, yeah,
she would have no idea.
She would have no idea about anything that's ever happened in the last 27 years.
And what was one of the pilots' names? Omar. What?
That's what would have gone.
You guys, she doesn't know the Kardashians.
Oh,
how lucky is she?
She's going to want to go back into that coma, right?
Oh,
and OJ's that funny guy from the Naked Gun movies?
Yep. He's just flying through the airport, jumping over things.
She doesn't know like four things about Michael Jackson.
Yes, right?
There's a whole list of stuff. You'd have to catch her up on that.
I mean, how do you break it to her? If you're having the Michael Jackson talk, because if it were me, if I were the guy coming out of the coma, I would be like, guys, you really got to clue me in here.
Right.
Where do you start?
Start from
the
beginning.
Mm-hmm. Start from the beginning. Tell me everything I missed. So how do you start with Michael Jackson? Do you start with he's dead? Or do you start with his record sucked at the end? Or do you start with the bad, bad thing?
It depends if he liked her or if she liked him or not. But I would say he's
You
he's
start
dead.
With he's dead.
Yeah. I think so, because that's probably the biggest shocker. Oh, but it's worse.
But nothing happened to Bill Cosby, right?
And, Mom, I got to tell you about this movie, Human Centipede. You're not going to believe it.
I hope Human Centipede is in the first five things that they tell that mom about.
I have the DVD. Pop it in.
Look, not everybody can do impressions.
Right.
But I'm looking for my paperwork. But Ray
Romano's crawling under the table while he's talking. I don't know what's happening.
Ray Romano seems like a relatively easy one to do.
You would think.
You would think.
Uh-huh.
Then we heard Dave. And that changed everything.
Dave?
Hey, good morning, everyone. Hey, Deborah.
It's not bad.
I will say this. Yeah. It's better than any of
us
in here.
Yeah. Absolutely.
No question. But it's not Ray Romano.
Ray Romano is one of the great stand-up comedians of all time, and we're super psyched to see him tomorrow night at Kevin Bean's 11th Annual April Foolishness. He is on the lineup along with our friend Felipe Esparza, who will be on the show on Monday, by the way. Adam Ray, Greg Fitzsimmons, Eddie Iff, Jamie Lee, they're all going to be there. The Kevin Bean rap battle, of course. Surprises still to be announced. You can buy your tickets at AXS.com, or you can win them with your Ray Romano impression right now. This game is called Everybody Does Ray.
Everybody does Ray.
Hey, I'm Ray Romano.
Everybody does Ray.
Hey, Deborah.
Win and make it a good day.
Oh.
Just do a good Ray.
Hey, if you do a Ray Romano impression like me, you could win ringside tickets. You see them at April Foolishness tomorrow night. Deborah.
How do you get Ray to do that?
Seriously.
You can't just tack on Deborah to the end of everything you say, can you?
What, Willie?
All right, so we're looking for your Ray Romano impressions. 1-800-520-1067. Let's start at Montebello, and let's say hi to our man Manny.
Hey, Manny.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good. I know that it's unlikely you're going to be able to top the King of Mexico's impression, but could we hear some Ray Romano, please?
Hi, I'm Ray. Sorry I'm fighting a cold I got from my twins. Twins are a great thing because I save money on photos. Hey, Bean, great tattoo of the queen. The more saggy and wrinkly your skin gets, the more recognizable the tattoo. Oh, sorry, that was Bean.
Manny has a whole routine going on.
Full bit.
Everybody does, Ray.
I'm sorry, the impression wasn't great, but the material was fantastic. Mm-hmm. I think so, extra points.
But are we keeping points?
Let's just put everyone on hold.
How does extra points help?
Okay, right. Well, if we have a clear winner at the end, sure. We award. If not, we do a drawing.
Okay.
So far, Manny is excellent.
All right, Greg in Santa Clarita, good morning.
Oh, no.
All right, Greg, do you have a Ray Romano impression?
Is that all you have, Greg? That's it?
No, please. Watch my show. Everybody Hates Raymond. Emmy Award winner.
Greg, it's Everybody Loves Raymond.
Everybody does, Ray. Okay.
I say we do battle now and get rid of Greg.
You
want Greg to have an equal chance to Manny?
Well, what I said is at the end, let's just put everybody on hold now in case we don't. Okay.
Art in Ontario, good morning.
Oh, hey, those guys are fake. I'm the real Ray Romano talking.
It might be. That was great.
That was good. Go on, Art. What else?
Yeah. Oh, okay, so the fact is that right now when I do my stand-up comedy, it's good on stage, but it's terrible on the phone. Terrible.
Okay.
I could do a really good knock-knock joke.
Let's hear it.
Oh, yeah. Ray Romano doing a knock-knock joke. Sure.
All right. It's knock-knock.
Who's there?
Who's there?
Interrupting Cal.
Interrupting cow who?
Moo!
Timing
was
a little
slow.
Yeah, he had me till then.
And by the way, it's interrupting cow Deborah. That's what you should be doing.
Yeah.
All right, hang on. Art was good.
Art was great. Yeah.
All right, we're going to have a tough decision to make here.
Scott in Manhattan Beach. Hi.
Hey, guys.
Well, we're playing for April Foolishness tomorrow night at the Microsoft Theater. Ray Romano will be there, and so will you if you're the best Ray Romano impression. What do you have, Scott?
Ma!
Everybody does, Ray.
Is that it?
That was
Scott.
That was Ray Romano.
He put the most work into it, I think.
I mean, I believed it.
Right.
All right. How about John and Whittier up next?
Hi, John.
Hey, guys.
All right.
Bring me a beer.
No, Ray Romano.
Never mind. I'm just going to curl up with Bean.
Are you doing Homer Simpson? What are we listening to here?
Everybody does Ray.
Look, not everyone does Ray.
Right. Should John give it another run, though? Did he know we were starting?
Maybe he didn't think we were on the air.
Yeah, let's have him try it again.
I didn't think I was on the air. Deborah!
Everybody does Ray.
All right, let's hang on and... put Paul on hold, you guys. We'll make Paul our final contestant.
Are you positive?
What?
Yeah,
they
we
haven't
need one
finished
more.
Screening.
One more. No, it doesn't matter.
I mean, it can't be worse.
Yeah. It could. Let's go to Paul.
Yeah, Paul. Hey, Paul.
Hello?
Final contestant for Everybody Does Raymond. You have a Ray Romano impression?
Yeah, I do.
All right, let's hear it. I'm not feeling great about it.
There's no confidence.
Okay, go ahead.
For the sake of your marriage, get a king size.
Yeah, you're right.
Everybody does right.
What's my motto, you guys?
That was great in there.
Why take one call? Uh-huh.
When you need to take one call too many.
Right. All right. I loved Manny's material. I thought Art's impression was better.
Yeah.
What did you guys think?
Agreed.
Manny's material was better. Art's impression was better. Agreed.
Mm-hmm. I mean,
you know what I think, though? I think that Art's impression was better, but Manny did have great material.
Oh,
okay.
So it's Art you're saying. Is that what we're saying?
Let's go to Art. Hey, Art
this
in
is
Ontario.
My favorite contest ever.
Yeah, I won.
You won.
Oh, that's wonderful. You're going to see me do some stand-up on stage.
I don't think you're going to get a spot. No.
I love Art.
That doesn't happen.
Oh, that's wonderful.
See you tomorrow. Thanks for playing Everybody Does Ray.
Everybody Does Ray.
Hey, I'm Ray Romano.
Everybody Does Ray.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:53.
I may have to move back to Los Angeles, you guys.
Because
I'm having the greatest Del Taco Beyond Meat experience taco I've ever had in my life.
Can you say that as a British person?
I can't. But you know how sometimes, and this happens.
Not listening.
This happens
can't
a lot.
Can't listen. Can't
like,
hear it without
happens,
it.
A, happens a lot Thank with you. Like Del Taco food, is it just hits the sweet spot. You go, oh my God, it's the greatest thing I've ever had.
That's actually the best you've sounded.
Really?
Yeah, that's good, yeah.
I feel like you're super energized by your Del Taco.
I think it's the Del Taco. I'm just saying.
I cannot tell you how good this taco is right now.
In fact, this is a good break for you because explain to the listeners how many days you've been here and how many times you've been to IHOP.
I mean, I've been to IHOP 3 times the last 2 days, but that's not what's important. What's important is this Del Taco.
Hold.
Beyond Meat.
Three times, 2 days.
Yeah. But at least you switched it up and you went to 2 different ones.
I am a pancake enthusiast. You know that, Kevin. You know that.
Bean says his favorite food is toast.
It is. Yeah. Pancakes are close second.
And he's been saying that since I met him, and I keep saying, that's the joke. I get it. It's funny that somebody would say that's their favorite. He will not crack on
because
that.
Because it is my favorite. Literally, it's
not
the thing
even a food.
I enjoy eating more than anything else.
Toast.
I had toast at IHOP last night. I was in heaven. But nothing like this Del Taco.
You need to go home.
Hey, Get Up On This is what we do Thursday mornings just after 7. That's on the way. Allie's here with what's happening on a Wednesday. Thursday.
Yes. Big Bond 25 news, you guys. The new 007, right?
And now, a breaking news bulletin.
The announcement was made from Jamaica outside of Ian Fleming's GoldenEye Villa, where he wrote...
We interrupt this program to bring you breaking news.
Yeah, I had started it. He wrote all of the James Bond novels there. Parts of Dr. No and Live and Let Die.
Live, local, late breaking.
Right. Also filmed in Jamaica. Would you like to know some of the... new cast members that are confirmed?
Sure, very much.
Bohemian Rhapsody's Rami Malek.
This is London calling. Here is a news flash.
I'm in the middle of it. Flash's Dolly Bensala.
Okay.
Flash Phillips.
Nope. wow, that would be great.
Wouldn't that be great?
It?
Be spanking.
Well, if you saw 007, what would your first words be to him as Flash Phillips?
I don't know.
In a British accent.
In a British accent. Just say 007, that you, it's spanking.
I'm not going to say
try
that.
It,
and then
it.
Do like
give
a Ray Romano thing at
give
the
it
end.
A run.
Why am I literally,
just a little
you're
bit.
A little performing monkey all of a sudden?
Because you're torturing us.
Performing monkey. Go.
It's spanking. Deborah.
Good Lord. Velvet Buzzsaw's Billy Magnuson, Blade Runner 2049's Ana de Armas, and Captain Marvel's Lashana Lynch. Those are all the new people coming in.
Okay.
And then some reoccurring cast members. Ralph Fiennes, he'll be M.
Great.
Naomi Harris as Moneypenny.
Love her.
Ben Winshaw, or Wishaw, as Q.
He's outstanding.
Rory Kinnear as Tanner.
Oh.
And Jeffrey Wright as Felix. He was in Quantum of Solace and Casino Royale, which I saw.
Right.
Good times.
He's a great actor.
Official title is still under wraps.
Oh, that's what I was waiting for.
But producer Barbara Broccoli has teased that Bond is not on active service when we start the film. He's enjoying himself in Jamaica, a spiritual home for the character.
We interrupt this program to bring you a special news bulletin.
Too late for that.
Yeah, just... keep going. We start the story here and build an extraordinary house for him, but adds that there's quite a ride in store for Mr. Bond. He's not on vacation for long.
What?
Right?
I want to know the title, and I want to know who's doing the theme song.
We don't know, but it's they're saying Bond 25.
Okay.
I don't know, but this will be Daniel Craig's fifth time in the role of Agent 007 following Casino Royale, Quantum of Solace, Skyfall, and Spectre, and presumably his last. So let's all just enjoy it, shall we?
When he came out and made the mistake of saying this is going to be his last one, he doesn't want to do it again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then magically, like a month later, he was on our show on the phone going, hey, this is going to be a great movie.
How great was he, though? Oh, we were like so really fun. Worried, like, oh, he's not going to want to talk about things. He was a blast.
He was. Yeah, he was a lot of fun. And didn't we talk about it one day and decide that there's no movie franchise in history that has more installments than Bond?
Oh, is that true?
I think you'd have to think.
Yeah.
Sure.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, I would think by far.
Yeah. I mean, and almost all of them are good.
Which ones aren't?
Oh, there's some terrible ones.
Really?
Well, Moonraker, for starters.
Oh.
That should be last on your list.
That's one in space.
Yes.
Okay. See, that to me, it should be the next one because it sounds so bad.
It's so bad.
Who's the Bond in that?
Roger Moore.
Oh, no. That's one I want to watch.
That's okay. There are plenty of good ones.
He's got other ones.
Yeah, okay. He's got other good ones. So.
He's my next Bond to watch because we've been through this. I'm now a big Bond fan, having seen Goldfinger and Casino Royale.
Yeah, you're on the path.
I am a
Bond fan, but I never saw that one on the moon. Now I really want to
see that. Yes. I feel like it's just super hokey and campy.
Yeah,
see, I'm in.
It's dumb.
That's what I loved about Goldfinger. It was so dumb, and it was awesome. Right? The lady, and she was all gold. Dead. Awesome. Just saying.
What's going on?
I'm just talking Bond, you know, like you do. You guys, Jennifer Garner covers People Magazine's beautiful issue. It's a cover that cheers the way that she balances Hollywood business and motherhood. Last year, the magazine rebranded its most beautiful issue as The Beautiful Issue to make it clear that it's not a contest. However, they will have no ugly people. I added
Did
that
they
last
say that?
Part.
Oh,
no,
wow.
I added that last Seemed part. Unofficial. But yeah, it's not a contest anymore. Remember, it was like, oh, who's the beautiful person this
but
year
But I thought
on People?
That's all that got people talking. They're
exactly.
giving away all that people talked about.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hmm. So is the sexiest man alive still the sexiest man alive? Like, is that still a
competition? No, he's just a sexy man.
He's just a sexy man,
or
among
is it
others.
The sexy issue.
Yeah, maybe.
I don't know.
No, it'd have to be. But yeah, they're going to get away with it. I mean, that's what they're kind of doing with
it
this.
Sounds
I
like, would, yeah. Okay.
I would assume they'll do the same thing.
I mean, really, do we all need participation trophies for being beautiful?
Apparently
no,
so.
No, we need to name the most beautiful. That's what we do.
Then we can yell at each other
about it. Damn it, people.
That's the fun of it.
How do we know who wears the crown all year?
That's right? What I'm saying. Ugh, so sick
wow,
of these people.
That's lame.
Agree, that guy from ICP. Murder your friend.
Blaze your dead homie.
Blaze your dead homie.
Murder your friend. Although you did say murder your friend. I'll give you credit for that.
By the way, I know we're rap battling tomorrow night. Please refer to me by my new rap name, Murder Your Friend.
Really good. Take it, my friend.
Murder Your Friend is quite a...
Awesome.
Quite an instruction.
Is it too late to add Allie to the rap
Oh, I would love that.
Rap battle.
By the way, Allie would be so much better than either one of us.
I don't believe
so
that.
So much better. It's going to be a disaster, you guys.
It's going to be the best, and I cannot wait. By the way, tickets still available.
Yeah, whatever.
$30 tickets, AXS.com.
Don't buy them. I don't want any more people to see me rap.
Oh, Microsoft Theater is going to be a blast. Hank Azaria, happy birthday. Al Pacino, Renee Zellweger, and Jason Lee. And
one of the great stars of Life in Pieces is going to be joining us next hour here on The Kevin and Bean Show. Our friend Colin Hanks makes a return. It's going to be fun. Love Colin. Love Thursday mornings because Jensen is here. It's time to get up on this.
Get up. Get on up.
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 On this.
Every week I bring you things that you should be up on, things that you might not know are out, or things that you may have missed over the past few years. This week I'm very excited to again be your curator for television. There's too much out there.
There's too much TV, Jensen. Mm-hmm.
Too much TV, but I am here to point out the things that you should give attention and time to.
Okay.
There used to be a stigma incorporated with being fired quickly from Saturday Night Live. I don't know if you guys remember that kind of thing. It was like a professional setback, and it came with like a set of insults.
It was worse than not getting the job in
That's the thing.
First place.
Yeah, you would be like never heard from again.
There were a lot of people, too, in that category.
Tons.
Like Robert Downey Jr., and
yeah.
I think maybe Hank Azaria was one.
Tons of people. They only lasted one season is a thing you heard. But if you look closer nowadays, being let go by Lorne Michaels without having a chance is almost like a badge of honor, as many of the best names in comedy have had this experience and went on to have incredible careers. Like you said, Robert Downey Jr. is one of them. Jenny Slate.
Yes, because she said the F word by accident.
On air, that's right. Laurie Metcalf. Joan Cusack, Sarah Silverman, Rob Riggle, Casey Wilson, Michaela Watkins.
You could make an alternate Saturday Night Live universe with those people.
And it would be a lot better.
And I might watch it, yeah.
It's a very long and prestigious list. Well, there's a new name to add, and I think he's made the most impressive comedic television so far in the year. His name is Tim Robinson. He lasted only one season on SNL before being fired, then would go on to create and star in the cult hit The Detroiters, which was canceled last year. So I wouldn't say he necessarily has had great luck in the entertainment industry.
The Detroiters was so
great.
It
was good, but not popular, right?
Correct.
Good, but not popular.
I loved it.
But this week he released I Think You Should Leave with Tim Robinson on Netflix. It's a sketch show that is absolutely brilliant in the vein of like a Mr. Show or Kids in the Hall or
High praise.
Key and Peele. Right, I'm telling you, right in the Hall of Fame. Ironically, it's inventive and very fresh, which SNL probably is considered not.
That's
right
why they were like, you know what? You're bringing us fresh ideas.
Yeah,
get out.
Please, do the norm. It's awkward at times. It mostly focuses on the absurd world of doubling down when you're embarrassed by something.
Love it.
It's so cringy.
I love it.
Does it make sense? Like, there's one sketch that it's a guy who accidentally is pulling on a door instead of pushing on it.
Sure.
It's in a job interview.
It's a job interview, and the guy goes, oh, it's a push. He goes, no, I think it's both. And then he commits so much. I'm not going to ruin it, but like he won't give up on the door at all. And it's incredible. It's almost like what happens when you take something three steps too far.
So this is Michael Scott on steroids.
Yelling. A lot of yelling of Michael Scott. As if you need more reasons to watch, it is produced by The Lonely Island.
So
we know this is great. They were actually the ones who convinced him to do it. The first season of I Think You Should Leave is 6 episodes long. That's nothing. But more importantly, each episode is only 16 to 20 minutes long.
Oh, that's so great.
The show is made for you, Kevin.
Yes.
You can jump in anywhere. The sketches are not intertwined. You don't have to see one
to
know the
other. You can watch an episode every time you poop.
I love that.
Ooh, it's a long poop.
That's a long time, dude.
Yeah,
How much poop you got? It
stars Tim and has appearances from names like these. His Detroiters co-star Sam Richardson, Cecily Strong, Vanessa Bayer, Will Forte, and American treasure Fred Willard. Here's a small clip from his appearance. It's a funeral. The regular organist couldn't make it, so they hire a replacement who might just be used to a different type of organ playing.
To honor Paul, why don't we listen to and enjoy a beautiful psalm?
Oh, our organist Peg is under the weather.
So we have a replacement organist for the day. Let us bow our heads. 2, 3, 4.
Do I let it keep going?
No, please.
My condolences.
Thank you, New Joe.
The thanks is all mine, Parson.
I would like to now call up Paul's daughter, Olivia.
And I'll play her on.
That is not necessary.
This one is somber, so it's all right to cry. It's called He Layeth on High. And it's about a big baby duck who gets his head caught in a stewed tomato. So hold on to your hats. 2, 3, 4.
Guys. He has a big organ with plates that he throws, it's just in the middle of a funeral.
That is the best.
Can I just say,
shut up and take my money?
Yeah, it's so good. I rarely watch something and immediately know it's brilliant. You're like, oh, that's perfect. This is. You can binge every episode. You can see everything that's on Netflix in under 2 hours right now.
I watched it last night and I told Jensen it's one of those that I'm yelling at the TV. Stupid.
It's so dumb. So dumb.
That's high praise from Ellie.
It really is.
That's high praise. Listen, you won't regret it if you make it part of your weekend plans. It's called I Think You Should Leave with Tim Robinson, and it is this week's. Get up on this.
Get up, get on up
on this.
Get up, get on up
on this.
Get up, get on up
on this.
Get up, get on up
on this. have to give it up for Jensen. He did voluntarily admit that he made a dumb purchase while on vacation one time.
It's dumb. Does that cover it? Dumb?
I don't know. I'll let the listeners decide.
All right.
You were, first of all, you were in Iowa, which is really more my speed than yours. How did that happen?
I have a grandfather from Dubuque.
No kidding.
No.
Okay, and how far away does he live from the famous Field of Dreams field?
I was very young, but I remember it being...
That wasn't the question.
No, I just say, I can't... Don't quote me on exact
time. What were you wearing?
About 45 minutes, I believe.
Oh, okay. So yeah. Close enough that if you're in Iowa, you certainly want to go by and see the famous...
At that time, because the movie was semi-new also, it was a... I mean, it was packed.
Dude, it's still... The biggest tourist attraction in Iowa.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah, but that just says things about Iowa.
No, but I'm saying hundreds of thousands of people go every single year to where the Field of Dreams movie was made.
That's so funny. My grandmother lives in Iowa, and I've been there 50 times and never once considered it.
Really?
Not even thought about it and went, eh.
Well, did you get any souvenirs?
I didn't.
Okay.
Which is where you win.
I not only purchased a T-shirt, which shows how bean-like I was even at the age of 8,
mm-hmm.
But I also paid, I think, $8 for a small test tube of dirt from Field of Dreams.
From the actual field. They made you think that they went out with a little beaker and picked up the dirt?
Yeah.
And you said...
Thank you.
$8.
Yeah, $8.
What a steal.
Yeah.
I mean, look, I know what you were going for is in some ways, if you fall under the spell of that movie, and particularly if you're a little kid,
mm-hmm.
you go, this is hallowed ground.
Yes.
That's what you're thinking.
Absolutely. I mean, that also just is a good excuse now that I'm going to glom onto.
I mean, it's not a moon rock or anything really cool, but right. I mean, at least it's a spot where a thing happened.
Well, or
no,
a movie.
Or a movie was made about a thing happening.
Anything you've ever said.
But I think I had a bit of a like background in it because I was reminded that I purchased a piece of Alcatraz, like a piece of a rock of Alcatraz when I was a kid.
No.
When I visited that, like just from the side of the building. And mm-hmm. then my mom also said that I purchased a piece of the Berlin Wall from Mervyn's.
What?
Mervyn's?
Yeah.
Why would they have it?
I don't know. It was at a
what
Mervyn's.
Is it? What?
And they had...
They had a piece of the Berlin Wall on sale at Mervyn's.
Yeah, yeah. A bunch of pieces. There was like tons of boxes and you paid like $15 or something and you went home and you got a piece of the Berlin Wall.
At Mervyn's.
Yeah.
Okay.
You got ripped off there. That's just not
insane.
Possible.
Let me ask you
it wasn't
about...
like a guy selling them by himself.
Let me ask you about the Berlin Wall because that was a significant moment in... world history.
Yeah.
When the wall came down.
That's why they brought it to Mervyn's.
Yeah. But I guess my question is, Kevin, in your estimation, is that a cool souvenir or is that still a dumb purchase?
In my mind, I don't buy souvenirs really mm-hmm. for the most part. In my mind, you know, the Berlin Wall has to be head and shoulders above a thing of dirt.
Right. I mean, but I guess what I'm saying is
that was on a movie set where something didn't really happen.
But if somebody gave you a piece of the Berlin Wall, is that something you would keep and would it mean anything to you or would it just be clutter and junk? And
if it wasn't somebody that I cared about a lot, it would just be junk.
Just be junk.
Well, someone on eBay this week is selling for $65. Grass from Kanye's Sunday Service.
No. Mm-mm.
Do it.
That
you have to do it,
is
Jensen.
Insane.
This is in keeping with your policy.
All right, I'll look at it.
Buy
up.
Meaningless stuff
that's
for $60.
Insane.
So someone just picked some grass up, put it in their pocket, and said, oh, this is from Sunday Service.
I have a question for you. They just picked up grass from anywhere.
Yeah,
no,
that's
no, no.
And they just picked up dirt from anywhere
no,
and put
true.
It in a little
well,
beaker.
The dirt's probably true. But
sure.
The smarter part is that this person was you know, thinking ahead and took a picture of themselves ripping the grass out while Kanye was performing in front of them.
Oh, authenticated it. Okay.
But, I mean, this isn't grass from where Jesus returned.
No, it's where
Jesus
walked.
This
he walked.
But this is grass where a rapper sang a song, is what I'm saying.
And barely a song.
That is not, that's not a souvenir.
It's currently at $66, two bits.
It's not a souvenir.
$6.
Why
is
that not a souvenir?
Because it's not.
Something happened there. By your standards.
Here's a picture that I just found of him holding up a Ziploc bag with the grass in it, and you can see there's, you know, the Kanye performances.
Well, I can't argue with that.
This was premeditated.
Yeah, this was.
That's concerning.
Do you think that most people, look, I've traveled a little bit, and if you go to the Vatican, for instance, mm-hmm. perfect example, you want a Pope Snow Globe. I mean,
no.
You just do. You have to have
Pope
Snow Globe.
That seems like, do they even sell that?
They sell Pope everything.
But Snow Globes?
Everything.
Do you
it's
have
got
one of those?
Children's
oh, yeah.
Tears in
I have
it.
A Pope Snow Globe, yeah.
He has a Pope Snow Globe.
But I guess what I'm saying is, if you went, Allie, if you went, to, if you went to the Vatican, would you not want a souvenir of your trip to the Vatican?
I would give them no money at all.
Because it's a Catholic
because of the scandal thing. Yeah.
How about you, Kevin?
I don't think
you wouldn't get a The Pope is Rad t-shirt or anything like that?
I'd get a Pope is Rad
if they were
t-shirt.
Selling that, I would get it. I'm just surprised they have something as whimsical as a snow globe. That's weird to me.
I can't imagine going to a place. I genuinely can't. I'm being honest. This is not hyperbole. Going to a place like I went to Oxford a couple years ago. Mm-hmm.
You spoke at Oxford.
I spoke at Oxford. Yeah. You have to get a magnet. No?
Yes. I do have magnets from almost everywhere that I've been, mm-hmm. and I will get little keychains, but they're in a drawer somewhere, and
it's
never
just
think
cheap
about it.
Crap.
Yeah.
Still a souvenir you bought.
True.
Yeah, all but right. It's still cheap crap. I mean,
Wasn't
there anything better that you could have bought?
Maybe a sweater or something? Is that what you're alluding to?
Well, I don't know. Anything?
Dirt? Should I have bought more
sure,
dirt?
Sure, more dirt, yeah.
By the way, my
probably
entire
the same dirt.
My entire front yard is just souvenir dirt. I bought from different places.
We want to
don't step on the Vatican.
We want to. What kind of calls are we looking for? Are we looking for dumb souvenirs?
Look, you were impressed.
You were swept up in the moment.
Yes, you were impressed by it at the time. However, looking back on it, like Jensen is now, doesn't necessarily hold up to scrutiny.
I will say that there is something, and yeah, you can take the selfie in front of the Eiffel Tower, but for a lot of people, they want to have something concrete, something mm-hmm. tangible to remind them of that trip. So maybe they buy like the little miniature Eiffel Tower that they can just put on a shelf or something like that.
See, I would buy, in those shops, they have 1,000 like beautiful pictures of it. I would buy that long before I would buy it.
Before you'd buy the Eiffel Tower dish towel?
Yes. Don't you think? Like it would still remind you of being there, but it's an amazing.
But the Eiffel Tower teapot cozy. What about that?
No, you didn't tell me that was available.
I mean, if you go to Hollywood Boulevard, we have there's like 6 or 7 of these shops.
It's the worst
that have like Oscars that say like best hug and stuff.
It's the worst. It's crap.
How about I Heart New York, the T-shirt. Would you ever think about that?
All of us had one at some point in our life, right?
We all had a Planet Hollywood shirt at one point. No,
I did not.
I did not.
All right, I'll be alone over here.
Okay,
because I bet they're still selling I Heart New York T-shirts.
100%
by the thousands and thousands and thousands.
I do the opposite. I have 3 friends that are into soccer with me, just those 3, mm-hmm. and I buy the horrible little action figures that look exactly the same, and they just put a different name on the back of it every single time. But I buy it because it's funny, because it's crappy. I don't ever buy it because...
But you buy it to reflect every game you go
to?
No,
not at all. I just find it funny, and I send a picture to my friends, and then I toss them in the trash. Now, lately, I stopped buying it. I just take pictures in the store.
Yeah,
it saves
sure.
me some money.
All right, 1-800-520-1067. We want to hear what souvenir that you bought that maybe wasn't the wisest thing you could have bought. Maybe reflecting on it, you could have passed.
Also,
shall we take one before the break, real quick?
Just before, I found out you can buy it now on the Holy Grass from the Kanye Sunday service. It's $500 if you want to buy it now.
Oh my God.
Do it.
Okay. All right, okay. Let's see what Jesus has or Jesus in Anaheim.
Could be Jesus. We don't know.
That's what I'm saying. I could go either way.
Hey, Jesus.
What's up, man?
Hey, how's it going?
What'd you buy?
Well, so 2016, I went to Russia.
Cool.
And I went to a sauna full of I was the youngest guy maybe for like by 30 years. they pumped me full of vodka, and all of a sudden I went to the gift shop and I was buying bathrobes and like those little hats.
Did you say
that
a bathrobe? You have a bathrobe?
Yep. Yeah, from Russia, and it's still in the package. Like I haven't even used it. It looked cool at the moment.
Yeah.
When but now it's just sitting in my drawer, like doing nothing.
Yeah.
And
you need to wear it. You'll be a baller. You walk around the neighborhood, go out, get your mail in a Russia robe.
Yeah.
Come on.
That's pretty cool. You're missing out, Jesus. You thought it was lame. We're telling you it's awesome.
You blew it.
All right. Thank you for the call. 1-800-520-1067. What wacky souvenirs did you buy? We'll talk to you next on K-Rock.
Just had a young the giant. Let's take one phone call. Let's make it Tim in Huntington Beach. Good morning, Tim.
Hey, what's up, guys? So,
Tim, I support all lame souvenirs, by the way, so you got my vote, but let's hear what you bought.
All right, well, I regret it, because I don't like buying animal stuff, but I was on tour passing through Alabama or Louisiana for the first time, and in a gift shop, I saw an alligator foot keychain.
Right.
I don't know why, but I bought it.
Do you think it was was it made out of, like, metal?
No, it was... I don't know what's inside it, but it's an alligator foot.
It's an actual
alligator foot.
Oh. That's a big keychain.
That is, you're walking around with an alligator foot.
No. I kept it in the paper bag and I didn't take it out. I felt bad immediately after buying it.
Yeah, that's something you get if you're like cursed by an old gypsy.
Put it in a stew.
Yeah, that's not like something you buy. That's something you're like
bestowed.
An alligator
attacks you and you beat it. You go, take your foot.
It does sound voodoo-like.
Yeah.
Yeah, Tim, I think you made the right decision keeping that in the bag and in a drawer somewhere. Thank you for calling, though, and thank you for listening. 1-800-520-1067. What janky souvenir seemed like a great idea at the time, but now that you're thinking about it, you could have passed. Apparently, we're all Jensen, according to the tweets and the texts and the calls that are coming in, buying souvenirs that seem like a great idea at the time. Here's one from Randy. During the OJ trial, I bought a Don't Squeeze the Juice t-shirt from the Venice Boardwalk.
Great idea.
I wish I still had it. Remember that? Remember Don't Squeeze the Juice?
Oh, yes. Sorry, that's funny.
Speaking of the Vatican, Bean, this is from Raul. I bought holy water from a shop just outside the Vatican. It was probably tap water, but my grandma liked it. So, and Francisco, I buy silly straws with the name or picture of the place I'm visiting. I have over 60.
That's silly great. Straws. Huh.
Have you seen souvenir silly straws?
No, but these are my people.
I don't know anything about that.
Also, Allie was all judgmental, and then during the break, she's like, I have shot glasses, I have Christmas ornaments, she has everything.
I just don't think of those as souvenirs, but they definitely are.
They're souvenirs, but they're not embarrassing.
Welcome to the club.
Let's go to Peter. Let's do him up first, please, on line 6. He's in Los Angeles. We're talking about wacky souvenirs that you bought.
Hey, Peter.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What did you get? What did you buy?
So I think I might have Kevin on board for this one.
Okay.
Well, it was I think it was during Thanksgiving. The LA Kings were having a promotion for a Zamboni gravy boat. And
nice.
I'm sorry, what? So it's a gravy boat in the shape of a Zamboni?
I don't hate it. Correct.
Oh, I love it so much.
You have to buy that. You don't even have a choice.
Just for the record, I started to look it up, and I put in L.A. Kings and then the letter Z, and it finished Zamboni gravy boat.
Do you use it every holiday, Peter?
So I have literally never used it.
Oh, Peter, you're such a disappointment.
To make matters worse, I didn't actually even buy the pack to go to the games. I bought it off of eBay because I couldn't afford the pack for the game. So.
Oh, man.
I like the dedication you have.
I do, too.
Yeah. Hey,
but use the gravy boat.
Yeah, do the right thing. This Thanksgiving, make it a celebration. All right. Thank you, Peter. Appreciate the call. Let's go to Henry, line 3, please, up next, Los Angeles.
Hey, Henry.
Hey, guys.
What's your wacky souvenir?
Way, way, way back when Dodger Stadium was doing the revamp of just, like, you know, fixing up the stadium, a buddy of mine was working out there, and he took a couple of pieces of the bullpen fence. He sold it to me for $25. It's about a 2x3-foot just chain link fence, and my idea was to hang it up someday in my man cave and all that good stuff, but it's just been rolled up under my bed for the past couple years. My wife's been begging me to just throw it away, but I can't.
Yeah, but I do have a piece of the forum floor where the Lakers used to play. I do have a piece of that.
Oh, okay. The hardwood?
It's not wood, yes.
That's okay. Legit.
Yeah, everyone's really coming out of the woodwork now.
Yeah, it's not dirt. You're not all by yourself.
Oh, yeah, it's not dirt. It's floor.
What's our ruling on Henry's piece of chain link fence?
I actually probably wouldn't do that.
I think if he has a man cave, he could just put it up and be like, Dodger Stadium, bullpen.
Right. Yeah, but it's not a seat from Dodger Stadium. I mean, it's a fence.
Wow. How dare you? Wow. Henry, I'm sorry. They're so awful.
Being all judgmental.
I'm just wondering. Okay.
You did the right thing, Henry.
All right. We appreciate the call, so thank you so much. Let's see. Let's go to Brian, please. Line 1, Toluca Lake, up next.
Hey, Brian.
Hey, guys. Good morning.
Good morning. Souvenirs.
So, my mother-in-law is probably the queen of the most useless, clueless souvenirs and gifts. She came back from a trip to Ohio with salt and pepper shakers, Lincoln Park salt and pepper shakers for me. Gave them to me as a gift.
That sounds like it has to be a bootleg item.
What?
Has to be.
Salt and pepper in the shake of Lincoln Park?
Yeah. And they were plastic. They looked like somebody printed out the album art and just glued it around them.
That is so janky.
But here's what I'll say. His mother-in-law, right? Your mother-in-law bought it for you. So that gets you off the hook.
Yes, she did. Well, I'll tell you what, when she comes over, we pull them out.
Of course you do.
Okay, thank you for the call, sir. We appreciate
it. That's what he meant.
Let's go to Johnny, line 5, LBC.
Hey, Johnny.
Hey, what's up? What's up, party people?
Talking about crappy souvenirs, what'd you get?
I'm going to take the cake here. I bought a box of mud from New Zealand. So in New Zealand, you go everywhere, there's like thermal mud everywhere. They're selling it.
comes in different sizes. So I said, you know what? I'm going to buy a box of it. I'll use it later for a facial or whatever. Never used that. Found it last year in the back of my drawer. It was rock hard.
Again.
Wow. I mean, a box of mud.
I feel like he's sending messages to people through there.
Are you coming on to me? What's happening here? Thank you for the call. Appreciate it. From the 310, I don't know. This one may be the one, you guys.
This is crazy.
My friend bought a can of air at Mount Fuji in Japan. It's a very real thing.
Yeah, it is.
Is Mount Fuji supposed to be some sort of religious thing? Or
does it matter?
No, but why would
you want to... a bottle of air?
Well,
who cares?
You're very high altitude, and the air up there, you know, it's different. It's
You breathe
think that's
it.
What's in that jar?
Well, it is.
I mean, that's what they said when I bought a full case.
No, but you could never enjoy it. It literally is just a bottle with air in it. If you open it, the air is gone. So
I hate to break it to you. There's no air in it that's any different. It's
that's
just
my
a
point.
Bottle
it's
that
just
says
air.
Mount
You're
Fuji.
Just buying a bottle.
Yes.
It's
like Jensen has dirt. Has nothing to do with Field of Dreams. There's a lot of dirt in Iowa.
Right,
you ever
are
been
they
there?
New? What's going on?
Let's close with this email from listener Mark. I have a collection of over 100 souvenir fingernail clippers from all over the world.
Ooh. I'm glad it's not clippings.
100 souvenir fingernail clippers. I'm sure they're actually all made in China, but I bought them from all over the world when I travel. So in other words, every like country he goes to, he buys souvenir fingernail clippers.
How do you choose that?
Like, why is that his thing?
Out of all of the other crap they sell everywhere?
When you could buy air.
You people are so damn lucky that you don't have to listen to Bean Talk during these songs. Holy crap.
I thought we were having fun.
Yeah, you did.
I thought we were all hanging out.
Name of Bean's autobiography is I thought we were all having fun.
Bye. Boy, my autobiography has been named today. My new rap name, Murder Your Friend, has been created today. Mm-hmm. This is Red Letter. It's also going to be a red letter day for some young comedian. He or she is going to be on stage at the Microsoft Theater tomorrow night, opening the show for Kevin and Bean's 11th annual April Foolishness. You, the Kevin and Bean listener, have been voting all week long. We're going to unveil who that person is just after 8 coming up. Beer Mug, as I understand, is going to be at that person's home.
Well, don't tell them the bad part.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. So congratulations to you. We'll talk to you on the radio.
First, Sally's here with what's happening on a Thursday.
Guys, the Prince Estate is releasing a 15-track album. It's previously unreleased songs. It's called Originals, and it's first going to stream on Tidal from June 7th to the 20th, and then it's going to receive a physical release via Warner Brothers on June 21st, and then be available via all streaming and downloading services after that. But it's songs from Prince's quote, vault recordings, which were selected by Troy Carter on behalf of the late singer's estate alongside Jay-Z. And it's basically songs that he did from 1981 through 1991 that he primarily composed and wrote for others. A lot of them became huge hits, like Sheila E.'s The Glamorous Life.
So we get to hear Prince's version of The Glamorous Life.
And
I love this.
The Bangles' Manic Monday.
I love
A lot of
this.
People don't know he wrote all these songs,
all
too, so it's going to be great.
And a lot of people don't know that Nothing Compares to You. They just think Sinead O'Connor. That's Prince.
He actually put out a version of that. Though,
he did. He did. Yeah, it was a standalone version on Family's self-titled 1985 album. Also, Kenny Rogers' You're My Love.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Van 86's Makeup. So that's a little bit more of a deep cut, but I cannot wait for that.
Oh,
by
that's
the way,
great.
Carmen Electra has a Prince bop.
Yeah, she was one of his, like,
she
kind
was.
Of.
She one of his proteges.
She has a good song that he wrote.
Yeah.
Hopefully that's on there.
He always
whatever
had
it's called.
A really, really hot chick in his stable.
Of course.
That he was, like, whether it was Vanity or it was Carmen Electra or it was Apollonia, there was always somebody that he was writing songs for.
Absolutely.
But I love that, and I love that we heard there are thousands of songs in the vault.
Yeah.
And I hope that they start curating those because, I mean, I can see the argument that there's a reason he didn't release them because he didn't want them out there. But now that he's gone, the fans want to hear them.
But here's the weird thing about Prince, and not to talk bad about him because he's dead, but he put out a lot of songs and not all of them were great. I mean, he was prolific.
Yeah.
And you'd get an album, you go, I like two of them.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're not into the jazz experimental albums.
I don't know. He's just got a lot of weird stuff, so hopefully they'll be able to, you know, pick good songs.
Well, it's important because Prince's half-sister, Sharon Nelson, has accused Comerica Bank and Trust, who's the administration overseeing Prince's estate, of mishandling the late singer's finances. According to Billboard, her and her siblings' fight against Comerica has resulted in thousands of court filings and millions of dollars in legal fees. And she says that Prince's estate will go bankrupt if the company is not stopped.
Wait a minute.
That's scary.
Hold on a second. Mm-hmm. How can they go bankrupt when they just released this?
Let me purple rain.
I feel like the background singers were with them on this.
That's Nick Cage.
What?
Yeah.
Like the money should be poured in with that kind of high quality.
That's Nicolas Cage aggressively singing Purple Rain.
So Prince wrote Purple Rain for Nick Cage?
A lot of people don't know that. Yeah, a lot of people don't know.
How can they be out of money?
I don't know. If somebody's mishandling your funds, easy. They're going to places you don't want to know about.
But if they're not, how could you be out of money? Do we know people are mishandling the funds?
That's what she's accusing them of.
Wow, this is ugly.
Yeah.
I don't like it.
I don't like it at all.
I mean, there may not also be a lot of money coming into the estate. It's not like, you don't make a ton off streaming.
Right.
Let's face it. It's not like he's selling records. He obviously isn't touring. Merchandise sales probably way down. I mean, a lot of the income streams have been reduced or cut off. So,
wasn't there talk of turning Paisley Park into a huge, like, a museum?
I think they're doing it.
Yeah. I think they are.
I think tourist destination.
They're going to Graceland it up so people can pay to tour the Paisley Park. Yeah.
You do that, right?
I would do that, yeah.
Me too. Yeah.
Absolutely, I'd want to see that.
Kevin?
Absolutely.
Really?
Yeah, I love Prince.
Okay. We've had this discussion. I've probably seen Prince more times than any other artist, and he's up there for you.
12 times, which is a lot.
Yeah.
For Prince.
He only
showed up for like half of them, so...
When he did that that run at the Forum, I had friends that would say to me, just tell us what night you're not going to see Prince. Because it got to the point where it was concerning people.
I was standing outside the doors of the Forum.
Yeah.
And we heard, Prince has canceled the show.
No.
Go back, get in the car, drive home.
Oh. Kevin's got a lot of baggage with his relationship with Prince today, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Remember I used to call it the little pussy midget?
Yes.
I mean, you're really
a long time ago.
You're just
shoveling dirt on him at this point,
Most offended by. I'm trying to figure out which word.
Oh, his songs were good.
All of that was while he was alive. I'm not trying to talk bad about
it. You're not trying to talk bad about it. That's all you've been doing.
Okay, agreed.
You just called him a little pussy midget.
I used to. I said.
Why do you hate Prince?
That's my new rap name.
This got real weird, you guys. Uncomfortable. Hey, lawyers for Bill Cosby have filed a bail application on his behalf, accusing the judge who sentenced him to prison of being a corrupt, racist plot against him. By the way, Cosby is calling himself a political prisoner like Nelson Mandela.
Are you kidding?
And he claimed Judge Stephen O'Neill found their client guilty because he's black. So Cosby's lawyers filed that application requesting that the imprisoned sex offender be released on bail during the appeal process.
Are you kidding me?
I've never seen anything like this. And reality is... Mm-hmm.
What?
The situation.
Reality is the situation.
Is he in jail with the situation?
I don't think that's clear.
Is it the same jail?
It's possible.
Remember the story that I did a couple weeks ago? The Situation Fry Festival guy?
That's right.
And the Fappening guy.
That's right.
What a party.
Now they got to force him if they get Bill.
That's my Ocean's 4. Got to break out of jail.
It's not good. Not good at all.
I can't speak.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Oh, right.
Oh, sorry to hear that. Hey, coming up, I'm going to tell you about someone that you probably would never expect to get up there and just start doing a little stand-up comedy.
And I'm going to keep plowing through it because in this world of education, there is a harvest.
Oh, okay.
I was confused.
Not only was he my commencement speaker, he was also Christine's commencement speaker.
Really?
Bill Cosby, yeah. I do have to say, for an awful man, he did realize how hot it was and humid in Boston, so he had a big, long thing planned, and he goes, it's too hot out here. Let's get inside. And he ended the commencement speech pretty early.
And then bought you all wine.
And then I had a drink in it. Not funny.
But that's how
do you, Bill Cosby? I love him.
Me too. America's moral compass.
Wow.
He used to go around and collect those degrees.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that was his thing.
Yeah, he got doctorates from everywhere. Yeah,
for sure.
some birthdays for you. Renee Zellweger, Al Pacino, Jason Lee, and Hank Azaria.
Actor and director Colin Hanks, also longtime Los Angeles Kings correspondent, is going to be joining us in studio about 15 minutes or so here.
He's done a lot of work lately from that.
Well, we haven't had to call. We haven't had to reach out to him so much during the playoffs. But Colin will be joining us in studio coming up in minutes. Speaking of correspondents, Jensen, for years before you joined the show, you were the Kevin Mean hip-hop correspondent.
Also the beef correspondent.
And the beef correspondent, right. And so you are uniquely situated to be the guy overseeing the Kevin Bean rap battle, the mighty once-in-a-lifetime live event that's going on stage tomorrow night at the Microsoft Theater as part of Kevin Bean's April Foolishness.
Yes.
You and I had our first in-person, in-the-same-room, sit-down rehearsal yesterday.
Hey, yes. I haven't had that.
Well, I emailed you, said we could do it today.
Yeah, I wasn't looking at my email.
Okay, fair enough.
Since this stupid idea began, I have had all of my chips in on Kevin to win.
Okay.
As a result of our session yesterday, I'd like to double the money I'm putting down on Kevin to win.
I thought you did pretty good, to be honest.
You're just being nice.
No, it's because I've done this for, over 60 celebrities on a television show. Mm-hmm. And
Jensen does drop the mic.
Right. We do this all the time, and I'm telling you, people show up in worse shape.
Terrible.
I don't think so.
He's saying people show up in worse shape than you were.
I keep losing the beat, though.
I will be able to fix that. In post.
You know, it's not a TV show. It's live. It's happening live on stage.
What if we recorded it to look like it was live, and then we put it on a screen and we lip synced?
Yeah. Oh. They did it with the moon landing.
Right? That's right.
But I do think you're in a good position. I think we all together wrote incredible lyrics. Mm-hmm. I think fans are gonna love it.
And by that, what happened was I wrote some and Bean wrote some, and then Jensen threw them all out and wrote his own, and they were great.
There's a couple of them there. And I think, like, you guys, I think fans that know the show and no references, but also just want to watch two tall white dudes battle, they're in for a big special night.
I think anyone that listens to this show knows that we can't rap. So I think we're an oddity.
Low expectations.
Yeah, both of you guys and I said, it's such a bummer you look exactly alike, because I can't really make fun of your physical appearances.
You
look just like me.
You know what I just found out too, though, when trying to write it, was that we've made fun of everything there is to make fun of about each other. There's
nothing new.
There's no new material there.
Well, now we're rhyming them.
Okay. Well, look, I can't stress enough, not only is this my last April Foolishness with the show, this is the last time I'm ever rapping in public, you guys.
All right. Well, depending on how it goes.
I got talked into this. You are not going to want to miss the Kevin Bean rap battle, along with Adam Ray, Felipe Esparza, Greg Fitzsimmons, Eddie If, Jamie Lee, the great Ray Romano, special guest that we can't announce yet, and the opening act winner for Kevin Bean's April Foolishness tomorrow night, who I understand had the poll up on KROQ.com for the last few days. You have chosen the winner. I think Beer Mug is in location or close to it anyway.
Do you have a drum roll? Because I think this is a big moment.
It is a big moment for this young man or woman, that's for sure, to open that great night of comedy. Let's go to Mugs on the street in an undisclosed location and find out what the update is. Mugs.
I've been walking around this apartment complex for the last 20 minutes. I finally found a spot.
Are you doing a Khloe Kardashian impression?
No, I'm trying to whisper.
Are you whispering?
Are you in his kitchen? Why are you whispering?
I'm literally right outside his door, you guys.
Okay, I mean, I thought that was the direction.
That was the plan.
I hope I hear a siren and then him getting cuffed.
All right. So, how do we want to do this? The person doesn't know you're there.
Correct.
You're going to knock on the door live, and that person is probably going to come to the door in a towel or something, right?
Do you have a bullhorn?
I don't have a bullhorn, but I do have...
God's name is going on!
What do we pay you for?
I do have a confetti cannon and silly string.
Oh, never mind.
Okay.
Wow, you really upped our joke.
Okay, all right. Are the helpful Honda dealers there with you, too, by the way?
Yes, our SoCal helpful Honda person is here.
Okay.
We have the famous Kevin and Bean April Foolishness stool that will be up on stage while our winner is opening up.
Brought a stool there?
What?
It's a stool that you sit on.
Why did you bring a stool? What's happening here? Why did you bring a stool in this dude's door?
He's going to say, this is the place you're going to be sitting when it's someplace else.
Sit on it. We're going to take a picture to see if you look comfortable.
This whole thing is so
If you
janky.
Look natural, you'll
By
be
the
opening.
Way, almost no comedians actually sit on that. No.
Exactly.
It's put a bottle of water on
your water on.
It's just him and Mark Maron.
All right. So let's have Mugs in front of the super secret location. Let's have him knock on the door and get the winner to the door. He or she is finding out the same time you are here on the radio.
Okay, here we go.
gunshot.
That was aggressive.
Yeah, that's a good knock.
Oh,
yell, please open up.
What if he shoots right through the door, guys?
Oh, let me knock one more time.
Oh, no.
He's not home.
Again, extremely aggressive. Oh,
oh my God.
God.
He's going to think it's the SWAT.
Seriously.
Kevin and Bean on the phone.
On the phone?
On the phone.
Huh? Well, we are.
Oh. We did it. Hello?
Is this Jordan Conley?
Yeah, this is Jordan.
Hey, Kevin and Bean, you're on K-Rock, Jordan.
Dude, we did it, man.
Could I just interrupt for 1 second and say, can we change our minds?
See, now you're supposed to say, congratulations, you came in second.
Yeah.
Right.
But we just wanted to stop by and say you were great.
Great effort. Really great effort.
Yes, Jordan, congratulations. You are the winner of the opening act competition to be at Kevin Bean's 11th annual April Foolishness tomorrow night. You are very funny. You are very funny. And I don't know how you were able to energize the Conley heads or whatever your fans are called, but they voted in huge numbers to bring you to our show.
No, it was a lot of paying people off.
Okay.
I definitely offered drugs to a lot of people.
Bring those tomorrow.
Yeah, absolutely. You're welcome to the pre-party. Hey, what's your comedy story, Jordan? Tell us a little bit about yourself. Like, how'd you get started? How long have you been doing it and all that?
Nice. Okay, so comedy, I've been doing it for 3.5 years. It all started as undefeated class clown, never lost class clown. Mm-hmm. And my friends are like, dude, you got to try to figure out and do stand-up comedy. I'm like, nah, it's easy to make people laugh in person, but stand-up comedy is very different. I did it one time at the age of 18, terribly bombed, but I loved it, but I didn't have a car. So I didn't do comedy again until I turned 22 years old. And then from there, dropped out of school and then kept doing stand-up.
This sounds like just a string of really bad decisions your whole life.
I like that you loved stand-up comedy, but you sat on your couch in your apartment for 4 years.
Yeah, there's no way to get anywhere if you don't have a car.
Right.
Well, actually, incorrect. Did not sit on my couch. Nope. Sat on my mama's couch.
Mama's
couch.
Oh, nice. Never mind. You are killing it.
So even better.
Want to make sure there's a correction there.
I don't think I'm that bad. Because we all watched Jordan's tape that he sent in, and you still can at KevinBean.com. But can I just say, he looks like a guy who's been doing it a lot longer than 3.5 years.
Yeah, very comfortable.
Very comfortable.
Well, he practices on his mom's couch.
Right, exactly, So, Mom, how do you like this one? Jordan, what's the biggest venue or amount of people you've ever played in front of before?
The biggest amount, I think, is 300-400, somewhere in there.
Oh, well, we're looking at like 5,000 for tomorrow night, dude. Or a little more. Yeah.
Jordan, do you do a Ray Romano impression?
I'm Ray Romano.
You could have won the contest. That's as close as
any of our contestants.
Yeah.
Very good. All right, so the lineup is now complete. Jordan Conley will be opening the show. This is the fifth year in a row we've done the opening act competition, and it's always gone great. I feel good about you too, Jordan. What? What's happening? Who are you talking to?
We can hear you.
No. I was high-fiving the people.
Sit on the stool to make sure that it looks good.
If you look weird on the stool, we got to find a new winner.
So Jordan is opening that Adam Ray, Felipe Esparza, Greg Fitzsimmons, Eddie F. Jamie Lee, and Ray Romano, plus the Kevin Bean rap battle and surprises. You can still buy those tickets to see it all at AXS.com. Jordan, so great to meet you. Thanks for being on K-Rock. We'll see you in person tomorrow night.
I've never felt so good in my life. It feels so good. It feels so good to be alive.
How could we not, ladies and gentlemen? The great Colin Hanks back in studio on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, team.
What's going on, man?
Oh.
You missed a couple of shifts, by the way. We haven't seen you in a while.
Were you out?
Were you busy?
Are you still getting paid, by the way?
No, I've been busy. There have been things, a lot of stuff going on.
We had to renew your key card just to get you in the building here today.
I was at the old building for a few months going, where is everybody?
A few months. I like that.
I found a way to get over the fence, which was really the thing I'm most proud of. Nice digs, by the way.
You know, it's not too shabby.
Yeah, it's pretty
nice. As janky as K-Rock is. This actually is pretty nice.
Although you spend your entire day walking past people that you've never seen before in your entire life because there's like six other stations on this floor.
Yeah, there is that. But, you know, it's good to shoot spitballs at them at the cafeteria.
Hadn't thought of that. Good. Let me write that down.
Let me
make a note.
So there are 50s of you.
How have you been?
I've been good. I've been busy. You know, the Life in Pieces show has been going now for 4 years. which is incredible and great and amazing, and we hope to go for many, many more. And then,
well, CBS, man, their people are loyal.
They are America's most
watched. You get on
network.
My dad's radar, he'll never not watch you.
That's true.
How it works.
That is true.
Having said that, his dad is not alive.
That is also true.
Good luck getting on that radar.
Also true.
What I'm saying is, while he was alive, he never missed a CBS show.
I'll take that. If you don't watch CBS, you don't know that the shows exist. But, you know, when you're on one of those shows, your airports are never the same.
How many seasons was Roswell?
Roswell was three seasons, mm-hmm. two on the WB mm-hmm. and then one on the CW, but I was only on for a year and a half.
Oh, so this is by far your longest TV gig.
Longest gig I've ever had, which has been great. I mean, just absolutely amazing. And to be able to be home in Los Angeles with the wife and kids every day, it's been really, I mean, I'm kind of like spoiled and I don't want
to. The wife and kids feel the same way about having
They want me to leave so bad.
Dad, do a movie.
Get a job.
Please, go back to somewhere else, please.
I think I told you last time you were on that I have the biggest crush on your TV wife. She is
Zoe Lister-Jones.
She is amazing.
She's great.
And she's so funny.
She is a razor sharp wit. And
is she heinous? In person, though?
No, she's not.
It's a great question.
She's
though.
Not.
For
she
somebody
is...
that he works with now, currently.
No, but I just
let me tell you what a horrible person she is live here on the radio.
She's a nightmare in person, though.
No,
right?
She is. She's the best. She's so funny and so sweet, but she does have this very dry wit and delivery where it just everything seems to just be biting and have a little extra little like dig on it.
That's my turn on.
It's
Colin.
Well,
I'm
hey.
So Ooh, I'm just so hot right now. So hot, daddy likey.
Stop it.
Okay, this took a turn.
Right,
took a weird,
is there another
weird
studio that the three of us can go to?
Yeah. Seriously,
what? Why the face, Allie?
I just said I'm glad you brought these, and then I got grossed out that I said that. Sorry,
she grossed herself out.
Yeah. Question.
Yes,
you were on with your good friend Busy Phillips this week?
Yes, I was.
Okay. Allie was telling me that you guys were practically born together, right?
We were not born
is that
together.
Accurate?
I said that they
that would have been very
huge,
Game of Thrones.
It would be, yes. But you have had huge milestones throughout your life that have just lined up, and you guys dated long ago.
We dated when we were in college mm-hmm. many, many moons ago. That's where we met. Mm-hmm. And then we both started getting acting gigs the same time. She got her first television series the same week I got my first television series. She got her first movie role the same week I got my first movie role. She
You're twinsies.
Yeah, I mean, we've just for whatever reason, I don't know why, it's obviously very rare to stay in contact with anyone for longer than 20 years,
yeah,
really.
True.
But I think it's even more rare to do that in show business or at least two people that were outside of show business and then went in at the same time, you know. So the fact that we've been able to remain as close and you know, I'm very good friends with her husband. She is best friends with my wife. Our kids are in the same class.
What's happening?
I mean, it's kind
you all
of,
live together, I understand.
Yes.
Is this a commune?
We all live together. We wear the red stuff. And it's very wild, wild country.
And you both made it, too. That's what's awesome.
Yeah. I mean, that. And,
especially for actors.
Yeah. And, you know, the fact that we have both been able to not only, you know, eke out these careers as actors, but then also gone off and done other stuff too. I mean, I never would have thought that she would have had her own talk show. But as soon as she told me about it, I said, that's actually perfect for you.
That makes
and
sense,
let me tell you the 18 reasons why I think that that's going to be great for you.
You so, told her that after she had it? After she had the gig?
Well, after she had told me that she was going to do it.
Because,
you know, we would be at the school bus stop and I'd just say, like, how's your pilot season? How's yours? And we'd started talking. She said, I think I'm going to do a talk show. And I was like, that's a pretty great idea. And I think she's fantastic.
She's completely different than anything else on TV.
Yeah.
Which is nice.
She's fabulous.
Refreshing.
Yeah. You know? And to have a woman with her own talk show, about damn time.
Yeah.
About
were you in her time. Book? Did she expose any dirt on you in her book?
She
her
did not bestseller? Expose any dirt. No. She did call to tell me that she had written some stuff, and she sent me a copy for me to read, which I read before. I read it in it's the quickest book I've ever read because it was so well written and
it's
so
10
in her
pages
voice.
Long.
And you were looking for your name because
I was
egomaniac.
Well, yeah, BS, my part, BS, my part. But no, a lot of our relationship was not necessarily in there. And I said, yeah, that was a little weird. She goes, well, the editor said there really wasn't any drama. There was no tension for, for everything. And I thought, I'll take
so
that.
So you need to have a huge fight or
I'll
something
take,
like
yeah.
that?
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
A, that's a compliment.
Okay.
Your relationship
so you,
was too pure.
Yeah.
He's
I woke up as friends,
yeah.
so there was no... Okay.
Yeah, yeah. I would have loved for the editor to have been around for the relationship to see if that was
oh.
the case. No,
mm.
no, I'm totally joking.
Interesting.
Totally.
One more thing before we have to take a break with the great Colin Hanks here on K-Rock is that I didn't read the article because I'm very busy, mm-hmm. Colin, but one of the headlines I saw about your appearance on Busy indicated that Barbara Streisand had showed up at a barbecue unexpectedly?
No, not unexpectedly. I had a cast, sort of a cast get together at my house at the end of last season, and it was all just very casual. And Barbara Streisand is married to James Brolin, who plays my dad on the show. And James is sort of a very casual kind of like, you know, oh yeah, you know, he's just a very easygoing guy.
He's very much like his character on the show, I suspect.
Very much so. And he's a sweetheart. He's hilarious. And so I said, Jim, are you going to make it? He goes, yeah, I'll try and come. I'm not sure about the wife, but yeah, I'll let you know. And then, you know, a couple of days before, he's like, so the wife's coming. And I said, great. And I told my wife, and then, you know, the casual thing ended up starting to need, you know, rent.
Upgrading.
Upgrading.
Yeah,
yes,
sure.
Exactly. We needed
so it's
to
a
rent,
royal visit at this
we
point.
We needed to rent some new furniture and get some better play settings.
Hire some better
all
looking
that sort
kids.
Of stuff. Yeah, yeah. The cocktail maker now had to wear a tie
oh,
and all that
nice.
Sort of stuff. But yeah, we got a little taco truck, and she came, and she's amazing. I've actually met her on numerous occasions.
Of course.
I made a movie with her.
But Barbara Streisand came to your house.
But she came to my
to
house.
To your house.
And she was absolutely amazed by the taco truck that we had. She
really?
Thought it was just the coolest thing that you could have a taco truck arrive at your house and make you as many tacos as you want. She was blown. She's, wait, so let me get this straight. I could go and I can ask for another quesadilla if I want. Yes, you can have as many as you want, Barbara. This is incredible.
That's amazing.
Can I get this at my house? I'm like, I'm absolutely sure you can get one
yes.
at your house.
You can
get
anywhere.
Any kind of food truck. There are thousands of them. Go to the museum down the street.
Yes.
You will see.
Just hang out at the courthouse. You'll
yes,
be fine.
Exactly.
I know you've worked with so many people and have encountered so many people your whole life. You probably don't get starstruck anymore. But is there ever a point at which you're just having chit-chat with Barbara Streisand where it doesn't freak you out?
No, not really. I think more than anything else, it's always just so refreshing to see how normal everybody is, you know? And so when you see someone just so excited about a taco truck, you go like... All right, cool. So she's no different than every stoner I've ever met.
Yeah. Except for every stoner knows where all those trucks are.
That is true. That is true. Yeah.
Please, somebody in entertainment who's listening, the poll quote is, Barbara Streisand is no different from any stoner I've ever met. There's your clickbait. There's your headline. Colin is here. Life in Pieces is on Thursday nights at 9:30 on CBS. We'll take a quick break. More with him right after this on K-Rock. I'm going to put Colin Hanks on the spot right now.
Oh,
how
no.
about that?
Okay.
All right.
We've been talking a lot about Smells Like Teen Spirit lately because we just had Danny Goldberg on, the manager of, among other bands, Nirvana. He
yes.
wrote a book about Kurt Cobain that's very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And he talked about the shockwave that song created. When that song came out, it was unlike anything anybody had ever heard before. And almost everybody remembers the first time they heard Smells Like Teen Spirit.
I feel like it's the best song that's been written in my lifetime.
I think that is an arguable point. I want to ask you.
Although I was born in 1922, so you
right.
have to.
Better than Singing in the Rain?
Add that in.
Yes. Do you remember the first time you heard Smells Like Teen Spirit and did it make an impact on
you?
Oh,
well, it definitely made an impact, yes. But if I remember, I don't remember the first time.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that's because when that song came out, that was when I was like just discovering music for myself and listening to the radio by myself in my room. And so I was kind of discovering how best to absorb music, and that's when I started going to Tower Records and you know, going to record stores. And
you should do something with that.
Yeah, why don't you ever do anything with your love of Tower Records?
That's a great
idea. How old would you have been in 1991?
I would have been, seventh grade. So however old you are for seventh grade.
Okay,
what, all right. 14?
I was 22.
11 or 12.
Listen, I was very, very advanced.
Maybe 13, 14, maybe.
Oh, man, that must have been a great time to discover rock music, to be 13.
Yeah, oh, no. Well, it was incredible because it was,
blew your mind.
Nirvana, Red Hot Chili Peppers, Pearl Jam, Alice in Chains, Soundgarden.
It was all
exploding
then.
All of that happened.
What I remember very clearly is that we were playing Smells Like Teen Spirit, and then is the only time it's ever happened, I think, in our career. Kiss FM and every single other radio station started playing that music as well. And we were like, what's happening?
Because it broke all the barriers.
Yes.
It was a metal song, but it was also a pop song.
And it was ours.
And it was our song.
And then ripped from us in like 2 days.
Yep. Did you have... Now, your dad's always been a rock fan, obviously. We know that from his movies. But did you have a generational divide when you like stopped listening to your parents' music and started listening to your own stuff?
Yeah, it was pretty much around that time. But then I'm also like... such a fanatic about music that then I also like going like, okay, well, if I like these bands, who are the bands that influenced them?
Yeah.
And sort of went backwards. So my mom, she would listen to the Ramones, David Bowie. I mean, I remember listening to all different kinds of
music. You grew up
in
such a
car.
Cool house.
I know.
Yeah. Ironically, my dad never really played that much music.
Really?
Yeah, no.
Not even the Wonders?
Not even the Wonders, no. And so the Beatles were really sort of the only dominant force, you know, coming from him. And so by the time I got into, you know, music, then I was really doing the deep dive backwards and listening to sort of like what you, I guess you'd call classic rock, Zeppelin, The Doors, things like that. And they were like, why are you listening to that? That's horrible. I mean, I remember my mom saying, like, that's the kind of stuff I hated. That's why I was listening to Bowie. So I just sort of, you know, I just went deep dive on it.
That's the first time when parents don't understand your old choices for music.
Yes, that's right.
They hate your new choices.
All right. One more question in this arena, because I'm fascinated with this, because I know what a music fan you are. And that is, as you have become, I don't know how old you are now, I haven't done the math, but as you become a grown-up and you're busy and you got your kids and you got jobs, are you still experiencing and seeking out new music?
Oh, absolutely.
Because a lot of people, they get to be your age and they kind of have stopped discovering and now they only listen to stuff they...
Oh, no, absolutely. Yeah. I'm constantly...
So you're psyched for Fridays to see what's new.
Yes, I am. And I'm bummed if there's something... I'm bummed when I haven't discovered something new. Like, I go through these periods sometimes where I'm listening to music pretty much nonstop, and then sometimes there'll be a couple of weeks where it's kind of like just podcasts about, you know, history and stuff. And that's normally...
Nerd. You and I are very different.
Well, that's normally because there hasn't been something new that's really gathered my attention. And so now I just basically text all the musicians and I know and say, what are you listening to? Who do you like right now? I don't care if it's new. I don't care if it's
old. That's an option most of us don't have.
What are you doing? And it's pretty cool.
Hey, Los Angeles Kings correspondent Colin Hanks.
I mean, I don't know that we need to focus on
that
right now.
Well, I have to ask because this has been a big discussion here in this room, especially with Kevin over here, is when the Sharks are playing the Golden Knights, you hate them both. Who do you root for?
That was hard.
I have an answer for that.
That game was incredible.
I would like to know what your answer is.
My answer is that I want Las Vegas to lose because they just came into the league and they soared and they don't know what it's like to suffer at all.
I agree with that.
Mm-hmm. I want the Sharks to beat them, but then I want the Sharks to get smoked in the next round. I don't want them to move on.
I agree with that. I would say in that scenario, I root for, when you go to a baseball game and you don't care, you root for extra innings. That's what, you don't root for the home game.
Right.
You root for a good game. That's
zero
all you
people
want.
Root for extra innings, by the way.
But so with that game, I was like, okay, game seven. I just wanted it to be a great game seven.
Right. Nailed it.
Most game sevens are in the Stanley Cup playoffs. Mm-hmm. Even last night
even
with
last
Carolina
night.
And
Amazing.
Washington is another good example. So in that regard, I want a good game. That was one of the most incredible games I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that it was able to happen at home for those fans, just to hear them go just bonkers with each goal, I'm good with that. That said, if Sharks get swept out of the next round, I'm totally
You'll
good.
Be fine.
Yeah.
Who, over all of the teams that are left, are you pulling for to win the whole thing?
Oh, God. I don't know.
Maybe you don't care.
I mean, that's a tough choice because there are a lot of teams that I don't care about one way or the other.
Yeah. What I'll say right now is what I love about this playoff season in particular is that any conception of how it was going to go was thrown out the window very, very early.
Yeah, you knew that when the Lightning got swept.
All the top seeds are gone. Yeah, Lightning gets swept and they've got the President's... Like, it has been such a crazy playoff so far, just in the first round, that if we get three more rounds of something comparable, or even two more rounds of something comparable.
Sure.
But don't you think Boston, like, they just don't win as a city? Don't you think the Bruins really deserve
Sometimes they go months between championships.
Exactly.
What always makes me laugh is, like, when the Patriots have won and they'd be like, here, this is Boston fanship in the last few years, and it's like, Patriots, Patriots, Patriots. Celtics, Bruins, Patriots, 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 Patriots.
It's insane.
Yeah.
Insane.
All right. Life in Pieces is on Thursday nights at 9:30 on CBS. It's a very funny show in season four already with an amazing cast. And Colin, you are so good on it.
Thank you.
You really are. And the whole cast is so great.
Yeah.
Some of them are even better than you, but the whole cast is great.
Tough but fair.
Before you go, we want to ask 60 seconds with Colin Hanks. Mm-hmm. Look at Allie. She's going to be firing rapid questions at you. Just the first thing that comes to your mind. Good luck.
Okay.
Colin, do you have a favorite kid?
No.
Liar. Do you think it's weird that Tarzan doesn't have a beard?
Yes.
Right? If you had to, would you stop, drop, shut him down, or open up shop?
I would open up shop.
Amen. If you had to choose one, would you become a Ducks fan or a Galaxy fan?
Neither.
I knew it. First album you ever bought?
The first album I ever bought with my own money?
Yes.
Oh, geez, that would be Squeeze, Babble On and On.
Amen. All right. Still a classic. Would you rather be friends with a guy named Chuck or a guy named Guy?
Chuck. I literally have Chuck written on my coffee cup.
You sure do.
That's odd.
It's my nickname.
Dog kisses on the mouth.
No, never.
Oh, okay. Red Vines or Twizzlers?
Red Vines.
Do you ever tell your friends if they have a bat in the cave?
Yes, always.
Oh, God bless you. Your nickname growing up?
Chuck.
Okay. Best pizza in L.A.?
Joe Peeps. I don't know. We don't have that same kind of thing here.
Right.
There is Joe's Pizza. There is one on Sunset and then one up by Tower Right. Not Tower. The Capitol Building.
Yeah.
It's delightful.
I'm sure it is.
Okay.
But there's no real champion of LA pizza.
It was great to meet you in person.
Nice to meet you in person,
we'll
too.
We'll never see each other again.
No, it was
this
great.
This is it. This have is the fun. Extent of our... lifelong relationship, these few minutes.
You know, you look taller in real life.
However, when you go to London to work on a project, his house is wide open. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:55.
Colin Hanks is a damn delight, you guys.
Yes. He really is.
Always. Very nice man.
Yep. And he left us Hanks kerchiefs.
And what do we do with those?
You put them around your neck. Them? You can put them in your hair.
Sure, could he use those as a Coachella? I'll tell you that.
So this is what I would wrap around my face to rob a bank.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
That's what he brought him for.
I'm going to wear this at the third weekend of Coachella this weekend.
Oh, so stagecoach?
Oh, it is stagecoach this weekend.
It's country.
Well, then I got to get back to the guy who sold me the tickets.
8:55. Allie is here with another look at what's happening.
So Pete Davidson had a sold-out show at Flappers Comedy Club in Burbank, California. And a very special surprise celebrity guest was brought up to the stage. Somebody that had lost a bet with Pete Davidson. So he had to stand up there and do some comedy. He did about 5 minutes of material. That man, an actor, a rapper, and apparently now a comic.
I mean, I'm going to guess.
Yeah.
Coolio.
Coolio.
No, I'm going to guess Machine Gun Kelly.
It was indeed Machine Gun Kelly.
A real
like
romance.
Best friends. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Apparently, according to people there, hilarious.
Wow.
All right. So he can act, he can rap, and he can now do comedy. What can't you do, Machine Gun Kelly? I ask of you, if you're listening, call now. 1-800-520.
No?
Okay.
Some would argue act.
How dare you?
He has one of my favorite diss lines ever, speaking about rap
albums. Oh, is that right?
He'll be doing soon. When he went up against Eminem, the first line in his song was just, "You have a weird beard." Which
I mean, not wrong.
Or no, it's, "Your beard is weird." It still makes me laugh.
Yeah, not wrong.
No. I heard the new, hold on, stand by. I heard the new DJ Snake song yesterday on Real 92.3, where hip-hop lives. And Pete Davidson has a verse on it.
Really?
Now, what's that about?
It's a great question.
I'm interested to hear this.
I mean, but why, though?
Huh.
I would think DJ Snake would have access to a lot of people. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
I would assume friends.
Ariana Grande is also on it, which I thought was interesting, knowing their relationship.
Maybe, did he record it a long time ago?
Yeah, I don't know. But Pete Davidson was a little bit of a surprise feature.
Interesting. You guys, there was a unwanted guest running amok Coachella this year.
Unwanted guest?
Was it measles?
You're close.
Oh.
What?
According to Herp Alert.
Oh, no.
Yes.
No. I was totally joking.
An online diagnosis and treatment website for the STD herpes. There was a huge spike in folks looking to get treated for herpes in the community surrounding the famous musical festival.
Kevin gave, he gives everybody herpes.
Good.
Is that true?
How dare you?
Wow. I didn't know about this this website, but it says they've been in business for 2 years. Doctors issue prescriptions to pharmacies after people submit photos of the situation they have for medical professional review. And the turnaround is, they say, blazing fast, which I think is a joke, about 2 hours. So you send a picture of your junk with the breakout.
Uh-huh.
And they're like, yep, that's herpes.
This is not real. And you're going to find all of these pictures online someplace soon.
That's what I was thinking. Is that insane?
They're diagnosing people based on a photograph.
Based on a photo. That can't
it
be reliable.
It's illegal.
Yeah.
Well, let's ask Dr. Drew after the top of the hour.
Oh,
that'd be great.
He
can tell us that.
He's not going to be.
He can say if he can do that with a picture or not.
But I've got herpes in my butt.
Okay.
Oh.
Can you get it in your butt?
I don't know.
Oh, you can't.
According to that girl.
Yeah, okay.
According to that girl, you can.
I guess it makes sense because people have sex there and you can get in your hoo-ha.
Allie's just figuring sex out.
Let me work this out, guys.
So there was a lot of banging going on at Coachella.
Uh-huh.
And therefore a lot of new cases.
Yeah.
That's
it's not a surprise.
It's not great news either.
And that's my great news.
Especially with that.
Yeah.
My herpes just cleared up. What's up?
Thank you, sir. That was very random.
I would think there's a lot going on of that in the camping area. There's a huge camping area where people come from out of town and everything. They stay there for 4 days in the campsites.
A lot of
gets
stuff.
Pretty wild there.
Yeah. What's the weirdest thing you saw there?
A woman with a dildo the size of, I'm going to say 8 feet.
I'm sorry?
Yeah.
Do you know how big 8 feet is?
Yes, I do.
That's
I don't think it was real. I think it was like a comedy item, but it was very shocking.
Like girth-wise, what are we talking about?
If you've seen this, call in right now.
Hey, we don't need calls, no. Maybe 8-9 inches?
Call now.
10 inches? I don't know. How am I supposed to?
I don't know. It
you just
like...
asked me off the top of my head what the weirdest thing was
and
that I saw there.
It came right to you,
yes.
So it was
it really
a
was
distinct memory.
A standout.
Wow. All right.
She couldn't have been happy either.
No one would be.
Very excited.
We're going to talk more about that off the air.
I don't think we are.
Let's wrap this up. Jason Lee, Renee Zellweger, Al Pacino, and Hank Azaria.
24 hours a day,
that's
7 days
what's
a week.
Happening
there's
it's
a number you can
bye.
Always call. If you're laying there at 3 o'clock in the morning with no friends, what am I going to do? I got to talk to somebody. We're here for you. The Kevin and Bean Show is here for you.
Why are you looking at me?
323. I'm just saying anybody.
He has to look somewhere.
Anybody who's alone and lonely.
Why are you looking at me?
323-520. AFRO, that's our number. You call us, leave a message on any topic.
Hey, guys, I have a suggestion for the Kevin and Bean Show. I think you should change your AFRO by number to 323-520-AFROR.
This isn't going to be another round of calls about how hot Omar is it?
It's not. The next one is a fan of your handiwork, Pete.
Hey, party people. So who was the genius that just went ahead and dropped the asshole drop in the middle of Cage the Elephant song? Halfway through the song, out of nowhere, you just go in here and hear the lady go, asshole. Professional.
This is it, by the way. Listen.
Somewhere down over Pompeii.
Asshole.
But we didn't hear it on the air because I had Bean's machine up and who knows what was going on.
None of us knew that it happened until Dave walked in. He's like, did you guys just play a drop on the air? None of us knew.
I accidentally hit the computer with my arm or something.
I would say that's a challenge to make it fit in at least once a day into some song.
Sounds good.
I would say that the only reason we're still on the air is that was the drop that got hit.
Yeah.
And not any number of others that can't be played.
Agreed.
Hey, yo, Bean. Heard you were leaving. We're going to miss you, man. So this is for you.
Do do do, you the best. Do do do, you the best. Do do do, you the best. Standing on a car, fingers in the air, with some women's running fingers through their hair. Bing 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 bing.
That is gorgeous.
Asshole.
Not at that point. You never think when you're talking on this side what might be happening while you're listening.
Hey, Kevin and Bean, podcast listener here. Get in my car this morning to listen to Wednesday's podcast. And I'm drinking my coffee. And right as I take a sip, Bean announces the headline of Holding in a Fart Could Lead to It Coming Out Your Mouth. Literally, spit take right there, windshield, all over the car. Goddamn life.
I'm sorry about that.
She left the part out where she went to work and looked it up immediately.
Yeah.
Of course.
To find out all the details.
That was a public service.
Yeah.
That changed all of our lives, right?
Hello, guys. Podcast listener here. I want to get in on this knock-knock joke. Knock, knock. Who's there? A guy asking for $40 at Bean's door.
Wow.
That is very...
Is it hurtful?
I enjoyed it a lot.
Very true.
Very triggering.
I love that one.
Bean, why does your English accent sound Scottish? I don't understand.
Look, my English accent sounds like a lot of things. None of them are English.
Let me try it again.
I don't know what she's talking about. See all the accent I've got?
It's perfect for me. Here's another pronunciation problem that people have.
Yeah, I've always hated being doing the pronunciation police for daylight saving time or savings time. But I got to join the pronunciation police department and say, you idiots, keep mispronouncing Coachella. It's Carcella, you dumbasses.
Getting ready for the big Carcella.
I mean,
that's right.
Proof right there.
I mean, yeah, he nailed it.
Been saying it wrong the whole time.
Hey, I thought you guys might want to hear my air check. 106.7 KROQ, Flash Phillips here, zapping you straight into the afternoon. Don't forget to tune in to the Kevin and Bean Morning Show tomorrow. It's taking away $10.67. Wow, don't spend it all in one place, as your mom used to say. Your mom says hi, by the way. How about the latest from British pop sensation Rick Astley? Never going to give you up. Probably.
Spank it! That would be spanking!
Pretty good air check.
That is Bean actually as Flash Phillips saying that would be spanking.
That dude could take my old job.
Correct.
Hey, I got a question, guys. When Bean leaves, we're all going to be pretty sad. I mean, in all seriousness, you guys are funny and have kept me going for the better part of about 20 years. So I thank you guys for that. But I'd like to know if Bean is going to send himself off like he did at the last radio station where he uses the music and snippets of songs
right
to interview and answer the interview questions. He's got a couple of months prep, so I'm sure it's going to be magic.
Oddly enough, I have the one when he left WOHN.
Jensen, you've never heard this.
No.
This is...
You remember the break-in records, like yeah. Mr. Jaws?
Yep.
Well, apparently I did one as I left the radio station.
Where he interviews himself. He's the interviewer and...
I know you're a radio geek.
I love
these. But even this is too bad for you to enjoy. It really is.
The day that Bean announced he was leaving, I was like, if you don't put together one of these, I don't even know you anymore. So this is from what year would you have guessed?
Well, I worked at WHN, which stands for We Offer Herndon Nothing. It was a Herndon, Virginia radio station. And it was I left in 1978 and came back in 1980. So this farewell was hilarious because I ended up coming back like 18 months later.
Today we're interviewing WHN announcer Gene Baxter, who in a surprise press conference Friday afternoon announced his plans to leave the radio station. Excuse me, Mr. Baxter.
Just keep talking, mama. I like that
sound. Oh, my God.
Sir, why did you decide to leave WOHN?
Know that it's time for a cool change.
Don't you love Bean's, like, announcer voice?
I'm standing here with Bean. Jensen is waving it off. He's indicating he does not want to hear anymore.
No, what I'm saying is turn it up.
Yeah. More.
I got louder.
Here we go.
And how long have you been working with the radio station?
Longer than there have been fishes in the ocean.
I see. Well, what did the management have to say when you told them you wanted to leave?
Stay for just a while.
Anything else?
I guess your leaving was meant to be.
And what did you reply to that? Well, Mr. Baxter, do you think this will be a good move for your career?
We'll find out.
I seem to recall that you worked at the radio station before. Why did you leave then? Okay, then why did you come back? Once is never enough. Can you give us a hint, sir, as to what you'll be doing now? How about just what kind of job will you be after? Sir, as you left WOHN Friday afternoon, did you have any final words?
Though we're going our separate ways, there can only be brighter days.
Thank you, sir, for your time.
I mean, honestly, that needs to happen again. Am I right?
Thank you.
It's like earnest. It's like a normal interview.
What have I been doing with my career?
You go to hell, you son of a bitch.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It is the Kevin and Bean Show at 9:22. Yes, Bean? You're staring me down. This is really weird right now.
I know.
What's happening?
You hate me being in the room, don't you?
Well,
you hate it.
I'm just not used to that creepy stare that looks right past me into my soul.
He's looking at your bones.
Really, it's a lot.
The only thing I was trying to say is Thursday at this time every week, we enjoy our friend Jensen Karp with Get Up On This.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 9:35.
By the way, congratulations to Mr. Jordan Conley. He will be the opening act to Kevin and Bean's 11th annual April Foolishness tomorrow night at the Microsoft Theater. We sent Beer Mug over to his house. Beer Mug very aggressively knocked on Jordan's door. I'm frankly surprised Muggs did not get shot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I really am. It did sound like a police raid.
As long as he was okay, it would have been great.
For the show.
It would have been hilarious, yes.
Yeah. I think so. And I'm willing to go, he could have been injured and it would have been okay.
Sure, mm-hmm. But then eventually down the road, great.
Yeah, I don't want him to die.
Right, right. Okay.
But
anything short of death, we're in.
Maimed would have been best.
No, I don't want him to be maimed.
I want him to walk with a cane. I want him to have a limp and a wooden leg.
Oh, that would be awesome.
Oh, my God.
A peg leg.
How'd you get the peg leg? Well, I was knocking. Excuse me.
This guy, Jordan Conley.
I didn't know who it was, but I was knocking too aggressively.
But it can't be the foot with the beer mug tattoo.
Oh, no, it has to be
the
other
one.
No, it is that one, and we draw the beer mug on the peg.
Oh, yes.
Anyway,
can we send him back?
Jordan Conley is very funny, and he will be the opening act tomorrow night. You do not want to miss this show. A full lineup of comedy, the Kevin Bean Rap Battle, which is really coming together to be so much worse than I ever anticipated.
Right?
And special surprise guest tickets on sale now, AXS.com. We hope to see you tomorrow night. Allie's here with our final look at what's happening.
We talk about this all the time. There's too much TV, and there's too many different ways to access shows.
But
got
Jensen
Netflix.
Just told us we got to watch that dumb Netflix show.
Oh, no, yes.
Dumb means you'll love it.
Yeah, okay. You do have to watch it. It's really good. But you've got Netflix. You've got CBS All Access. You've got Hulu. You've got Amazon Prime. Coming in November, we've got Disney Plus. So we always talk about, well, do you just get them all? Do you pick and choose? Do you cut cable? What are you doing? Well, Streaming Observer did a poll, you guys. It was a survey based on the answers of 602 male and female Netflix customers in the U.S.
Oh, they talked to males and females.
They sure did.
Wow, they really got it covered.
They found that more than 12.3% of respondents said, yeah, might just cancel Netflix for Disney Plus.
Wow.
I mean,
what?
I can see that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the most serious contender.
Absolutely. And it's $6.99 per month.
For a month.
Yeah.
For a little while. So if you really think about that, Netflix currently has about 60 million subscribers. So that comes out to about 7.4 million customers lost if that actually did happen.
I mean, if they lose all of them. Right?
Well, no. They're just saying that 12% would equal 7.4 million customers.
Gotcha.
If you have kids, you have to buy it.
You have to get Disney
Plus. I don't think you have a choice.
Yeah. Like, as you're leaving the hospital,
they sign you up.
Yeah. It's very concerning. You guys, Britney Spears will be checking herself out of the mental health facility where she's been for 30 days, or if you believe conspiracies, since January. She can leave as early as today. TMZ has learned that she's still dealing with that big unresolved issue, which is her meds. And that's what they're saying this all stems from. that the meds stopped working, so they were trying to find a new combo of meds.
By the way, that all happens and is real and can take forever.
And when you're trying to find the combo, so many people give up and just say, let's just stop. I don't want to do it anymore.
Yep.
Which is what they're saying happened with Brittany. She stopped taking them, so they're trying to find the right combo, mixing those together. And they still really haven't found it, but they say... TMZ sources say doctors still haven't figured out the right formula and call it a work in progress. But hopefully they're on the right track and she isn't going to be released too early.
I am very supportive of her getting the help she needs and feeling better. But I do want to ask, what was she on when she decided to record a cover version of I Love Rock and Roll?
Yeah. It was for the movie, right?
No.
You go to hell, you son of a bitch!
No,
it wasn't for the boys in cars getting coffee with comedians.
I don't even think that's the worst one.
Crossroads.
I think
My Prerogative.
Yep. That's exactly what
yeah.
I was
yeah.
yeah. Well, it's a pretty good bit video.
What was she on for My Prerogative?
Yeah.
Does it say in your story?
No. No, I was just thinking, what movie was I thinking of that
Crossroads.
Was Crossroads, but I thought it was Boys in Cars? With
and
comedians
comedies.
Getting coffee. But Boys in Cars, was there a movie called...
Yeah, Drew Barrymore.
Drew Barrymore.
Not Britney Spears at all, right?
But she was in Crossroads with Britney Spears.
Drew Barrymore?
No.
Yeah. That was a fun little detour.
Yeah.
A Crossroads, would you say? Woo, you guys.
Dave and I saw Crossroads. We went to the theater together to see it.
Oh, wow.
The Britney Spears movie.
I don't think I would tell people that.
That was fun.
You guys, how much time on average would you say you spend looking at a screen, whether it's your tablet, your laptop, or your phone? How many hours per day?
I am
27 for me.
I would be terrified to find out the number.
Right?
Yeah, I don't really
know.
It's too much.
Because you figure
it includes
at work,
TV, right?
TV. Oh,
yeah.
Absolutely.
Okay. Yeah, it's too much.
So you figure people at 9-to-5 jobs that have a computer.
Yeah.
It's off and on
off
for
and
those
on
8
day.
Hours.
Yeah. Yep, sure.
Then they get home. They're watching TV to relax. They're scrolling through Twitter. This number is so off. Americans spend an average of 5.5 hours per day on screens.
Before noon.
I wonder if that counts like people who don't have TV,
people
stuff like that.
Don't work.
Maybe.
I don't know.
People don't work. I would think we'd be watching TV all day.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. It also emerged in the study that people who work 9-to-5 start to struggle with their eyesight by 2 p.m. That's when they're really like straining to look at things. They start getting headaches, that type of thing. But that brings me to this next story because when
was
you
all
have
set up?
When yeah. you have kids,
we're all fired. Go home, watch TV.
No need for you to look at your computer anymore because you don't work
yeah.
here. Kids, you need them to quiet down. You plop them in front of a TV. You
easiest
need them,
thing in the world.
Yeah, to zip their mouths. You hand them your phone. They can just look at a little screen, right?
God wouldn't have invented the Disney Channel if he didn't want parents to use it to babysit.
Absolutely.
True. I mean, I think that's accurate. That's from the Bible.
Oh, is it? Wow. However, the World Health Organization has released new guidelines for technology use, and they say children should not spend any time looking at phones, tablets, or TVs until they're at least 2 years old.
Well, that makes sense.
They're so far behind, though, with all the other kids.
How will they know Fortnite?
Yes.
But
if your kid doesn't get on Instagram until he's 2, Jensen,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
he's going to be crap
right.
at it
yeah.
compared to the other kids.
He's going to get no sponsored tummy tea ads.
Right.
Other kids are like, oh, I didn't see your story. Did you post anything? And I don't even know what that is.
I drove by a building in L.A. yesterday, mm-hmm. and you guys would probably know it. It's Tips and something, Tips and Tumblr or Tips and Trends or something like that. And they had a big sign on the side of the building that said, your selfie could make you a star.
And I thought, so you're supposed to take classes there? To
I don't know
how to do selfies.
Your selfie could make you a star, is
Love
what
it
was.
What does that even mean?
I don't know, but I feel like it kind of dovetails with your story Oof. About the screen obsession.
Yeah. Well, the World Health Organization says that kids aged 2, 3, and 4 should have their screen time limited to just 1 hour per day. I mean, that's when I was watching all my, like, Croft Superstars and stuff, right? My parents would go out. They'd be like, you'll be fine. Here's a bus pass. And I'm like, I'm 3.
Here's some smokes.
Yeah. My dad would unwrap it from his shirt.
And kick a jukebox.
Yeah, he was Schneider from
no,
One Day at a
Fonzie.
Time.
I thought he was Fonzie. Damn it, I went the other way.
Oh! That would be so much cooler if my dad was Fonzie. Why'd I go Schneider?
Your dad fixed
he
plumbing?
He has
I don't
a
know.
Ton of keys on a key ring. Guys, what other stories should we do?
I don't know, but I feel
based
bad.
On what we've heard so far?
Yeah.
No, no more?
You're right. What about this, you guys? Jussie Smollett got an official endorsement from his castmates yesterday as Fox and the creative team weigh his return ahead of the series' likely renewal for sixth season. Terrence Howard, Taraji P. Henson, Gabourey Sidibe, and some other series regulars issued a strongly worded request that he not leave the show.
That is another way of saying guilty.
Yeah. By the way, last night's Empire might have been his last ever episode if he doesn't get written back in.
I don't think he could get fired.
I don't think so
either. I've said this many times. He's guilty of nothing.
Legally, they would have to.
Yes. Yeah.
I don't know how code of conduct doesn't work if you're just a guy who got accused of something and then proved it didn't happen.
Yeah, but isn't Chicago still suing him for the cost of the investigation and maybe, everything?
But I still think if we start pulling people off TV because they're being sued, well...
True.
But it'll just be us on TV.
Oh,
never mind.
Oh, Kevin's being sued.
Guilty!
Guy was not on the jury, apparently.
No.
All right.
Kevin, are you being sued?
Yeah, let's talk about it.
I just thought that would be funny.
But what, for what?
You know.
You can't point on the air, Kevin. You tell me that all the time.
I thought it was the only way to communicate with you.
Being sued for that.
Stay on target. Stay on target.
There's no target. You guys, this
call
morning.
Now. Okay, call in.
Huge announcement made from Jamaica outside of Ian Fleming's GoldenEye Villa, the place where he wrote all of the James Bond novels. Parts of Dr. No and Live and Let Die were also filmed in Jamaica. The big announcement? Some Bond 25 stuff. Yeah. We know about newcomers like Rami Malek, Flash's Dolly Bensala, Velvet Buzzsaw's Billy Magnuson. You've got Captain Marvel's Lashana Lynch.
Wow, all the big names.
All the big names. But then you have a bunch of returning
There's
people.
More?
Ralph Fiennes, he'll be M again.
All right, now we're talking.
Naomi Harris as Moneypenny.
She's great.
Ben Whishaw as Q.
Phenomenal.
Rory Kinnear as Tanner.
Don't recall Rory.
Oh, yeah, he was Tanner.
Okay.
That's he a good takes point. Pictures.
Okay.
Oh, that's
no, Tanner. That's a guy
oh,
that works
shoot.
Here. Yeah.
Okay.
Very different.
Jeffrey Wright is back as Felix. He
killer.
Was in Casino Royale and Quantum of Solace.
Killer.
Wright.
We say Solace, but killer.
Did I say Solace?
Every day. Every time today, yeah.
Interesting. Again, this will be Daniel Craig's fifth time in the role of 007. Casino Royale, Quantum of Solace, Skyfall, and Spectre. No, it's Spectre?
Yeah.
Okay, kidding.
I'm very excited by this news, and I can't wait to find out what the movie's going to be called.
Yeah, official title still under wraps, you guys. But we do know that when the film starts, he will not be on active service. He's enjoying himself in Jamaica. I hope it starts with just Daniel Craig laying on the beach,
smoking
huge spliff,
yeah,
just
be
like, bumbaclot, and everyone's like, what's happening?
And then two dudes walk by holding up Bernie Lomax, who's dancing.
Yes! We just tie it all in.
Clearly dead.
He's doing the dead shimmy right now, and it's amazing. Wow! I mean, Barbara Broccoli, the producer, if you're listening right now, feel free to use that, right? Just in the background, walks by.
Just
burns. That'd be quite funny.
Yes.
How do you guys think...
A bunch of bobsledders cruising.
Oh, yeah, bring it all together. I like
that's
it.
Good, too. All right, by with their suits on.
Yes.
How do you feel Bohemian Rhapsody Boy will be as a villain? Do you think that's good casting?
Absolutely.
I think he can do anything.
Yeah,
okay.
His
He's teeth got the
are
teeth, yeah.
very villainous.
Okay.
Just saying.
Because they've had great villains, Javier Bardem and Mads Mikkelsen and these most recent. I mean, they really do a killer job with the villains.
Yeah. The one I saw, Mads was the villain in that one.
He was great.
Yeah, he was so good. Mm-hmm. A lot of card playing in that. I'm like, can we wrap up the card playing?
It was
playing?
Set in a casino.
Oh, okay. Some birthdays for you. Hank Azaria, which can we just for a minute...
I'm the only one watching Brockmire.
No,
but I'm
you're
telling
not.
You, it's
no,
phenomenal.
You are not. It is amazing.
And he's great.
He's stupendous.
Yeah,
it's too much to
Al Pacino, right? He's been in some stuff.
Mm-hmm.
He was in the movie that I saw.
The Godfather, right.
The Godfather.
Right.
Renee Zellweger and Jason Lee. And that's what's happening.
Thanks, Allie, on your drive home today. Tomorrow morning, a very riveting soup. What's up?
Nope.
Yes.
I'm writing out my top five tonight. Top five soups.
You really You had infuriated Allie last night.
You really did.
We sent back notes about this back and forth, and I put, and you'll hear tomorrow, Hot Take Jones is back, because my top five is startling.
Ridiculous.
I literally wrote back, I quit.
Yeah.
It's that bad.
And it's true. And it's real.
I mean, those were comedy answers.
They had to be, Jensen.
No, I swear to
it's
God.
It's not possible.
I'm telling you, that's what I, if I'm given soup, those are my first two picks.
If you listen to one Kevin and Bean show, don't make it tomorrow.
Don't make it tomorrow. It's not going to be good. It's going to be ugly. Keep it 100 because it's Friday and we've got your final pair of April Foolishness tickets as well. If you haven't bought yours yet, it is AXS.com.